जय विशुपाल परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अशोत्र सदस्य श्रीमान अभय चरणारविंद भक्त वेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की जय। नित्यलीला प्रविष्ट विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सदस्य श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की आनंद कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य शील हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविनाथ श्यामकुंड राधा कुंडगिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगा माई की यमुना माई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की गो प्रेमनंदी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज all glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale, Srimade Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine, Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prajarine, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshadharine.
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
संसार सागरे मग्नम दीनमां करुणानिधि कर्मग्राह गृहीतांगं मां उद्धरमवार्णवान् श्रीमद्भागवताख्यो यम प्रत्यक्ष कृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थं भव सागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयं सफलः सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशव भवे भवे यथा भक्ति पादयोस्तव जायते तथा कुरुष्व देवेश नाथस्त्वं नो यथ प्रभो नाम संकीर्तनं यस्यां सर्वभाव प्रणाशनं प्रणामो दुःख शमन तं नमामि हरिं परम् जन्माद्यस्यन्वयादिवरदश्चार्थेष विज्ञस्वरा तेने ब्रह्म हृदाय आदिगवये मुह्यन्दियल् सूरय तेजोवारिमृतम् यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा दाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तगुहकम् सत्यम् परम् धीमहि धर्मप्रोज्ज्वलकैतवोऽत्र परमो निर्मत्सराणाम् सदाम् वेद्यं वास्तवमत्र वस्तु शिवदं तापत्रयोन्मूलनम् श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनिकृते किं वा वरैरीश्वर सद्यो हृद्यवरुद्यतेऽत्र कृतिभिः शुश्रूषुभिः तत्क्षणात् निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितं बलं शुकमुखादमृतद्रवसंयुतं पिबद भागवतं रसमालयं मुहुरहो रसिका भुवि भवगाहं सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पद्यादिहेतवे तावत्रय विनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नुम यं प्रव्रजन्तमनुपेतमपेतकृत्यं द्वैपायनो विरहगादरमज्जुहाव पुत्रेधि तन्मयदयत्तरवोऽभिनेतु तं सर्वभूतहृदयं मुनिमानदोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपमतिदिदीर्षदां तमोऽन्धं संसारिणां करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यम् तं व्यासोऽनुम् उपयामि गुरुं मुनीनां नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुकुलकृतानन्देन्दोः मम वाचि विजृम्भतां मुरारे मधुरीं नक्कणिकापि कापि कापि नमः ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी इति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणी ಶ್ರೀಮಲ್ಗುರುಚರಣಾರವಿಂದಾಭ್ಯಾಂ ಮಮ ವಂದೇ ನಂದವ್ರಜಸ್ತ್ರೀನಾಂ ಪಾದರೇಣಮಭೀಷ್ಟಶಃ ವ್ಯಾಸಾಂ ಹರಿಗದೋ ಗೀತಂ ಪುನಾದಿಭುವನತ್ರಯಂ ಗೋವೀಚರಣಾರವಿಂದ ಪರಮಾಣವೈ ನಮಃ ಪೀತಾಂಬರಂ ಗರವಿರಾಜಿತ ಶಂಖಚಕ್ರಂ ಕೌಮೋದಕೀ ಸರಸಿಜಂ ಕರುಣಾ ಸಮುದ್ರಂ ರಾಧಾಸಹಾಯಮತಿ ಸುಂದರ ಮಂದಹಾಸಂ ವಾತಾಲೇಶಮನಿಶಂ ಹೃದಿ ಭಾವಯಾಮಿ ಕೋಮಳಂ ಕೂಜಯನ್ ವೇಣುಂ ಶ್ಯಾಮಳೋಯಂ ಕುಮಾರಗ ವೇದವೇದ್ಯ ಪರಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಭಾಸದಾಂಬುರದೋ ಮಮ ಮೂಗಂ ಕರೋದಿ ವಾಚಾಲಂ ಪಂಗಂ ಲಂಘಯದೇ ಗಿರಿಂ ಯಲ್ಕೃಪಾದಮಹಂ ವಂದೇ ಪರಮಾನಂದ ಮಾಧವಂ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ನಮಃ ಶ್ರೀಮತಿ ರಾಧಿಕಾಯೈ ನಮಃ ಸರ್ವತ್ರ ಗೋವಿಂದ ನಾಮ ಸಂಕೀರ್ತನಂ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಶುಕ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮರ್ಷಿ ಅಟ್ ದಿ ಎಂಡ್ ಆಫ್ ಏಕಾದಶ ಸ್ಕಂದಂ ವಾಟ್ ಹಿ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಗಾಟ್ ಟು ಸೇ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಏಕಾದಶ ಸ್ಕಂದಂ ವರ್ತ್ ವೈಲ್ ಥಿಂಕಿಂಗ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ದಿಸ್ ಹಿ ಸೇಸ್ ಅಟ್ ದಿ ಎಂಡ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ 29th ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ಆಫ್ಟರ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸೇಡ್ ಟೋಲ್ಡ್ ಉದ್ಧವ ಟು ಗೋ ಟು ಬದ್ರಿನಾಥ್ ಶ್ರೀ ಶುಕ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮರ್ಷಿ ಸೇಸ್ ಅ ಫ್ಯೂ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ದೇರ್ ಹಿ ಸೇಸ್ in the 48th verse 29:48 ya edanaanda samudra samvradam jnanamrutam bhagavadaya bhashitam krishneena yogeshwara sevidangrina sa shraddhaya seva jagad vimuchyate shishubhamashi says this ekadasha skandam is ananda samudram samvradam jnana amrutam ಭಾಗವತಾಯ ಭಾಷಿತಂ ದೇರ್ ಇಟ್ ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ಜನರಲಿ ಏಕಾದಶಂ ಇಸ್ ಸ್ಪೋಕನ್ ನಾಟ್ ಸ್ಪೋಕನ್ ವೆರಿ ಮಚ್ ಇನ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಅಸೆಂಬ್ಲೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಮೋಸ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಪೀಪಲ್ ಸ್ಪೀಕ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ದಶಮಂ 10th ಕ್ಯಾಂಟೋ ಅಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ದೇ ಕ್ವಿಕ್ಲಿ ಫಿನಿಶ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ದೇರ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ದ ರೀಸನ್ ಇಸ್ ದಟ್ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಎ ಟಾಪಿಕ್ ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಡಿಫಿಕಲ್ಟ್ ಟು ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪ್ಲೈನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಡಿಫಿಕಲ್ಟ್ ಟು ಫಾಲೋ ಆಸ್ ವೆಲ್ ಬೋತ್ So for speakers and for the listeners, it's a bit difficult topic. Similarly, therefore, Ekadasham is called Mukti Skandam, isn't it? Another name for Ekadasham Skandam is Mukti Skandam. And if it is done properly, the Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, on this Mukti Skandam, one should get Mukti. That's the way it is structured. So, most of the people don't want mukti. What they want is bhukti. We will first have bhukti and then we'll talk about mukti, they say. So therefore, normally they will finish with Rukmini's marriage. Rukmini's marriage to Krishna, that's the highest topic. After that they close. After that, Bhagavatam is very sattva-jnanam. Krishna has spoken from a very higher level. Right? So here, Shukha Brahmashi is saying here, Edadananda Samudra Sambhradam. It's Anandam it is. Jnanamrutam. Krishna, he is saying, Jnanamrutam. Bhagavadaya Bhashidam. And then what else he said in the next words? Bhavabhayam Apahandam. Jnana Vijnana Saram. Nigamakrutubajakhre. Bhringaval Veda Saram. Amrutam. ಉದದ ದಿಶ್ಯಾಲ್ಪಾಯಲ್ ಭೃತ್ಯವರ್ಗಾನ್ ಪುರುಷ ಋಷಭ ಮಾಧ್ಯಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸತ್ಯಂ ನದೋಸ್ಮಿ ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದಿ ಲಾಸ್ಟ್ ಟೈಮ್ ಶುಭಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಶಿ ಆಫರ್ಸ್ ಒಬೇಸಾನ್ಸಸ್ ಟು ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಇನ್ ದಿ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಅಂಡ್ ಹಿ ಸೆಡ್ ದಟ್ ಭಾವಭಯಂ ಅಪಹಂತಂ ಜ್ಞಾನ ವಿಜ್ಞಾನ ಸಾರಂ ಒನ್ ಬಿಕಮ್ಸ್ ಫ್ರೀ ಫ್ರಮ್ ದಿ ಸೈಕಲ್ ಆಫ್ ಬರ್ತ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಡೆತ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಈಸ್ ದಿ ಎಸೆನ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಆಲ್ ದ ವೇದಂ ಜ್ಞಾನ ವಿಜ್ಞಾನ ಸಾರಂ ನಿಗಮಂ ನಿಗಮಂ ವೇದಂ it's Vijnana Saram, the complete whole thing is churned out and the cream has been taken out from that. Bringavel Veda Saram, essence of the Vedam. And it is like drinking nectar. Amurda Mudharishal, Payal, Bhrityavargan. Krishna has churned the milk ocean and extracted the nectar from that and gave it to the devotees. And that Sachidananda Brahmam Krishna, I offer my obeisances, he says here, right? So you can see it is Amrutam. Bhagavadam, Ekadasham is Amrutam. It is nectar. And the same thing is spoken about Bhagavad Gita also, if you look at that way. Yeah. So there, Krishna is the milkman and the Arjuna is the calf. And in order to get the milk, you need the calf to suck the milk first, right? So, jnana vijnana saram, and there is no practically any difference between Bhagavad Gita and Ekadasham. It is the same message, right? So, what did he say there? He said that the Partho valsa sudhir bhokta dugdham gita amradam mahat. Nothing is clear. what did he say? The verses. Gita Mahatmyam, the what we recite in the morning, right? Dogdha Gopala Nandana Partho Valsa Sudhir Bhokta. Yeah, Dugdham Gita Amrutam Mahat. So Gita is also Amrutam, Ekadasham is also Amrutam. Here Shukabrahmarshi says Amrutam. There Ajahn Swami says Amrutam. So Dugdham Gita Amrutam Mahat. Dogdha Gopala Nandana. That Krishna is the milkman who is milking, Arjuna is the calf, and you require Sudhi Bhokta, one who has good intelligence. He will understand the Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise, it is difficult. Why? Sarva Vedanta Sara Sangraha Bodham Durvijnayartham. Bhagavad Gita is the essence of Vedam. There, Acharya Swami says, and here Shukha Brahmarshi says, Ekadasha Skandam is the essence of the Vedam. Both of them says the same thing. Acharya Swami says, Partho Valsa, Dugdha Gopala Nandana, Partho Valsa Sudhir Bhokta, Dugdham Gidamrtam Mahat. But how do you begin that verse? It starts with Pathaya Pradibodhidam Bhagavadam Narayanena Swayam Vyasena Gradidam Puranam Ninam Madhya Mahabharatam Advaidamrata Varshanim Varshanim Bhagavadi Mashtadashadhyayani Ambatva Manasandadami Bhagavad Gita Bhavadeshvini. Sarva Upanishado Gao. Sarva Upanishado Gao. Upanishads are the cows. And Krishna is a milkman. Arjuna is the calf. And one with good intelligence can enjoy the nectar of this milk. Sarva Upanishadau Gavo Dogdha Gopala Nandana Partho Valsa Sudhir Bhokta. That is how Acharya Swamiji said about Bhagavad Gita. Sri Shukha Brahmarshi says about Ekadasha Skandam the same thing in a different way. He puts it as Ananda Samudra Sampradam. He says, after churning the milk ocean, the nectar came out. In the same way, Krishna has churned the Vedam and brought out the nectar from that. Acharya Swami says, yes, Krishna has churned the Upanishads and brought the knowledge out. Shukha Brahmarshi says, Krishna has churned the Vedam and brought the knowledge out. In the form, churned the milk ocean and brought the nectar out of it, because nectar came from the milk ocean. In the same way, he is saying here, Yadadananda Samudra Sampradam Jnanamradam Bhagavadaya Bhashidam Krishnena Yogeshwara Sevidangrinam Sachradaya Seva Jagad Vimuchyade Bhavabhayam Vahandam ജ്ഞാനവിജ്ഞാനസാരം നിഗമകൃതുപചക്രൈ ഭൃംഗവൽ വേദസാരം അമൃതമുദതദിശാൽപായയൽ ഭൃത്യവർഗാൻ പുരുഷകൃഷഭമാദ്യം കൃഷ്ണസംയം നതോസ്മൈ. സോ യു ക്യാൻ സീ എ റിലേഷൻസ് ഭഗവത്ഗീത ആൻഡ് ഭാഗവതം ഹാസ് ദ സെയിം മെസ്സേജ് ഓഫ് ദ വേദം സ്പോക്കൺ അറ്റ് ടു ഡിഫറെന്റ് ഒക്കേഷൻസ് ടു ടു ഡിഫറെന്റ് ഡിസൈപ്പിൾസ് അർജുന ഭഗവത്ഗീത ആൻഡ് ഏകാദശം ടു ഉദ്ധവ. സോ ഹിയർ this comparison Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam is very popular, that the people understand that Bhagavad Gita is not different from Ekadasha Skandam, but two different occasions Krishna has spoken slightly differently to Uddhava and to Arjuna. So yesterday we were talking about that. Krishna said that kudumbeshu na sajjeda pramadya na pramadyat kudumbyavi വിപശിൽ നശ്വരം പശ്യേൽ അദൃഷ്ടവപി ദൃഷ്ടവത് പുത്രദാരാപ്തിബന്ധൂനാം സംഗമ പാന്ധസംഗമ അനുദേഹം വിയന്ത്യതേ സ്വപ്നോ നിദ്രാനുഗോ യഥ. സോ കൃഷ്ണസ് പോയിന്റ് ഈസ് ദാറ്റ് ദി വൈഫ് ചിൽഡ്രൻ ഫാമിലി ആൻഡ് ഓൾ ദാറ്റ് യു ആർ വിത്ത് ദം ജസ്റ്റ് ലൈക്ക് യു മീറ്റ് അപ്പ് ഇൻ എ ചൗൾട്രി ഓർ ഇൻ എ സത്രം. ദാറ്റ്സ് ഓൾ ദാറ്റ്സ് ഹൗ that relationship is right. Night time in the olden days people will walk whole day, in the night they have this what they call chaultri, isn't it? They join there to sleep some overnight rest, and then they get up in the morning and they walk off again. So they will have a conversation at night when they come to a meeting place like that, and there will be some relationship at that time, temporarily, for a few minutes or a few hours. They meet up each other, and sometimes they may stay for 2 or 3 days to relieve the tiredness of walking. But when they leave, the connection is over. Similarly, in every life, they normally in the chaultris they stay for 2-3 days. And depending on, because everybody was walking those days, it's not. Similarly, Krishna is saying here, Sangama Pantha Sangama. In every life, we meet up with a few people for a few years, and then they are gone and we are gone. And then we come to the next life and we meet up a few new people. It is very similar to this, what he is saying there. പുത്രദാരം ആപ്തബന്ധൂനാം സംഗമ പാന്ധസംഗമ അനുദേഹം വിയന്ത്യതേ സ്വപ്നോ നിദ്രാനുഗോ യഥ. സോ എവ്രി ബോഡി വാട്ട് വി ഹാവ് ആൻഡ് ഇൻ എവ്രി ബോഡി വാട്ട് എവർ ഫാമിലി ആൻഡ് റിലേഷൻസ് വാട്ട് വി ഹാവ് ഡിവലപ്ഡ് റൈറ്റ് ദാറ്റ് വിൽ ഓൾ ഗോ. ദാറ്റ്സ് ഓൺലി വാലിഡ് ഓൺലി ഫോർ ദാറ്റ് പീരീഡ് ഓഫ് ടൈം. വെൻ ദ ബോഡി ഡൈസ് അവർ കണക്ഷൻ വിത്ത് ദം ഈസ് ഓവർ. And if they leave us first, then with that our connection with them is over. And so, if we die, then our connection with this is over with that. It is Krishna saying, like in dream, you see something, but you wake up, it's gone, finished. In the same way, with leaving this body, our connection with the family and friends is over. So, and this can happen any moment, separation from this body. And either through our death or through their death, it can happen. Therefore, Krishna is saying that one should not develop excessive attachment to them. Under any circumstances, wife and children and family and friends, right? And because it is an obstacle in your journey to the goal, self-realization. So, the way to understand that is, best way to deal with that situation is, to think that they are all Krishna's people, all family members and relations, they are all, Krishna has put them there. And as long as they are with me, I have to take care of them as Krishna's property. That's all. And that is also part of upasana. And when Krishna decides to take them away from our custody, when he takes them away, with that our connection with them is over. Then they have moved away, then thinking about them and shedding tears about it and wasting time in that way has no meaning. Because that is not the goal of life. Goal of life is that is not always looking after wife and children. That's the first thing. Goal of life is not looking after wife and children. Goal of life is to realize yourself through bhakti. So, and once that goal is properly understood, then feeling distressed about them is out of place. It has no meaning. One should never forget what exactly is the goal of this life. And separation from relations, family, and all that things will happen in life. And as long as they are with you, only then this relationship is valid. Otherwise, it's not valid. Because one day they're going to get separated anyway, fully. And any moment this can happen, because the nature of this world is mrityu, mrityu praptam. So, everybody here is subjected to death. Mrityu grasam. Yeah. And that can happen any time. So therefore, it is compared like this, sangama pantha sangama. That you are meeting up together, few people, in a satram or chautri. And it is similar to that, this connection with the family members. Right? When the time has come to go, they will say goodbye and go. And with that, that connection is over. And so when you meet up people like that, in this sangama pantha sangama, when you meet up like that, sometimes from some people you take their address, phone number and all that to call back later. But that is a unusual thing. Only now you do all these things. In the past nobody did that. Now people take addresses and phone number and Facebook on their making members and all kinds of things. WhatsApp contact, Instagram. So many. Some or the other, they think that this will stay together. But when death comes, Instagram goes, Facebook goes, everything goes. Isn't it? So, most of the time we forget people whom we have met in life. So many people have come and gone, right? And so he's saying here, this joining with the family members is like that, not much difference, right? They just like in the chaulfi, they say goodbye and go. You don't see them anymore. Similarly, when you leave the body, that's the way you are saying goodbye to everybody and gone, right? And with that, connection is over. All the connection is over. And protection of them is not in your hands. You are thinking like that, I am protecting them, I am maintaining them. Actually, Krishna is protecting everybody in this world. And when separation happens, to lament about them, cry about them, is waste of time. And so, he is saying here, the goal of life, if you get mixed up with all these things, then the goal of life will not be, you won't get there. And also you will suffer here with the distress from that. And it may go away after some time, and because when you have acquainted with someone for some time, when they leave, temporarily you may feel some distress, right? But the next moment, one should use one's own intelligence, discriminative power, thoughtful nature, and should be able to forget about it and go towards the goal of life rather than getting affected by it and suffering in this world. And that is what Krishna is reminding us in this verse. Putrada rapta bandhunam sangama panda sangama anudeham viyandede swapna nidranigo yatha. He says it's just like waking up from a dream. That's all. So there are people take these situations differently. There was one mother, she was very devoted to Krishna, and she always used to come to listen Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, and things like that. And it so happened that her son, she had only one son, and that son died. He was young and he died, right? She got so upset that she stopped all worship of the deity. She had a room at home where she worshipped the deity, photographed deity, everything was there. And when this death happens, she shut the door. After that, she stopped all the worship. She couldn't handle that. Yeah. So, she had heard Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam many years, but she had the impression in her mind, she thought that she will die first, son will die later. That's the way people think about others in that way. But there is no rule like that in this world, who will die first. It's not that first come, first go. In this issue, that rule also doesn't work. In the bus stop, you can make a queue. The first one was there, stand first in the queue, others can stand in the queue later. Accordingly, you board the bus or anywhere in the queue system. That queue system you can't bring to death is concerned. It's not first come, first go. Once can, first come later can go early also. Right? So due to distress, she felt so depressed that she could not overcome that. And she did not get the strength to overcome that through her upasana. So the point is, if you don't develop that strength through upasana, when crisis comes like that in life, then you have to say that upasana was not right. The upasana is not right. Yeah, if you have proper upasana, upasana means what? Not only sadhana, analyzing, understanding Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and absorbing it inside. That means you have not absorbed it. That's what it means. Yeah. So when situations like this is the testing period, when things happen like that, crisis comes, reversals comes in life, all your plans collapses. At that time, if you are not able to survive that, what that means is your upasana bhakti was not proper. It was not done properly, or you have not received the benefit of Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam from that, right? So, so here, many people told her, death is a normal thing. You don't have any control over that, right? And it is an ordinary thing. But taking sannyasam is not ordinary thing. Everybody doesn't take sannyasam. Only if you want to take sannyasam, you take sannyasam. But on death is concerned, you have no control over that. It happens, right? So there is another instance to make understand this principle, what Krishna is saying here. that there was one person who used to come for Bhagavad Gita and hear Bhagavatam very carefully, right? He performed Upasana very well because he understood Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, and he accepted that, what Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam is saying. His son got bitten by a snake and died, right? And then his dead body, the son's dead body, after the snake bitten and died, brought home. So, and this, he used to come for a saptaham of Bhagavatam, and this saptaham was conducted in a Shiva's temple. So some people who have bias Vishnu, Shiva, like that, they said, because you are reading Srimad Bhagavatam in Shiva's temple, that is why this has happened. People interpret all these kind of things from that. And that is why this has happened, and we shouldn't have Saptaham in Shiva's temple. People who have that kind of thinking, Shiva is separate, Vishnu is separate, and Bhagavatam is only for Vishnu, and for Shivaranam is for Shiva, in this way. Who think in a different way. People who break up everything, right? And the father felt a little bit depressed about it. But then he told his son-in-law, you shouldn't think about it like that anymore. Look further upwards in life. And he had a little shaken in the inside for a while, till the dead body was cremated. And he didn't speak anything about it. For some time he felt distressed. But he had the strength inside to survive through that. And he said that, organize everything. And he was able to get all the ceremony done. And he said like that, all these things, yes, I have heard Bhagavatam. And this is what I have learned, not to be disturbed by any of these things. Right? So he has acquired that strength, that when reversals happens in life, the courage inside to go forward without being disturbed by that. And it is for that purpose Krishna is saying all these things. Putradhar Arthabandh, earlier he said, Kudumbeshu na sajjeda, na pramadhyat kudumbyabi, vipashchil nashiram pashchil, adrishtam avidrishtavad. Putradhar Arthabandhunam, sangama pandha sangama, anudeham viyandhyade, sopno nidranigo yatha. We should see the truth in all these things. What is reality? And that you should know through Upasana, through Ishara Upasana. And should have acquired the power to overcome any kind of problems that comes in life and should be able to go forward. That strength, right? And not completely get shocked by that and feels very weakened and give up all Upasana. That's not the way to do that. Because Krishna says, when you wake up from a dream, the dream is finished, right? Similarly, when the people meet up in the chaulry together, it is very similar to that, this relationship with the family and friends. They break up in the morning when their meeting is over, when they have rested. And so in the same way, the separation from relations and family, one should understand and not feel tired of any problems, what happens, any disasters comes in life, but rather should develop the strength inside to go towards for the goal of self-realization. That is, Krishna is insisting on that. Krishna is saying, these family, friends, relations and all should not come on your way towards reaching the final goal, because you have to look after yourself, spiritual life. Nobody else is going to do that for you. Instead, if you spend all your life in this family, friend, society, Krishna is saying here that then your connection with these family friends is over with their death or with your death, right? And this reality of life, Jivya Yadharthyam it's called, you should be able to take it inside, accept it inside, right? There is no point in closing your eyes in front of the reality. That's the point Krishna is making. Don't close your eyes in front of the reality. Reality is that they will leave you or you have to leave them. So there is no point developing excessive attachment to anyone in this world. And Krishna is very strong on this. He has spoken here, he has spoken in other places as well. And this is all the reason why, who will tell us these things in this world except Krishna? And this is why Shiva Brahma, she says, Bhava Bhayam Abhandam Jnana Vijnana Saram Nigama Kridu Bajakre Bhringaval Veda Saram Amrudamudada Dishchal Payayal Bratyavargan Purusha Krishabhamadhyam Krishna Samyam Natosmi. Why did Shiva Brahma, she offers obeisance? Because Krishna has spoken the blunt truth. And to awaken people from their ignorance in the due to attachment and suffering in this world, this is not the reality. This is not the reality. Krishna is repeating that again and again. This life is not the reality. Reality is something different than this. Look at the next verse. Ittham parimrishan mukto griheshu atitivalvasan na grihayanubadhyeda nurmamo nirahankradaha. Itham parimrishan mukto griheshu adhidivalvasan na grihayanubadhyeda nurmamo nirahamkridaha. Krishna is saying there that this connection with the thinking this enough, analyzing this very well, you should live at home like a guest. In your own home, you should live like a guest, right? And identification with the body, whereas we carry the whole house on our head instead of living like a guest. Why it is said like that is that this mamata, in order to remove this mamata, is the best thing is to get rid of this mamata. Mamata is different degrees in people. Best thing is to think of them that the Krishna has put them with me for some time. That's all my connection with them. If you take it like that, you won't feel that attachment so strong inside. If you think like that, Krishna has put them with me for some time. That's all my connection with them, right? And so long as Krishna is keeping with them, I look after them to the extent I can, to that way. And when Krishna takes them away from me, connection is also over, right? So it can happen in different ways. For example, they will there leave on their own. They'll find their way and they'll go, right? And then you should think that is also Krishna's plan, that they have gone like that. And then you don't have any obligations to look after them. Either they leave you and go, or they die and go, whatever that happens, right? That means on their own they are gone. They moved, left your home and they moved to some other home, and they are living their life. Or death happens and they have left, right? Then you don't have responsibility towards them anymore. That is Krishna's arrangement in that way. Till they leave, you have a responsibility to look after them. But they are not yours. They are Krishna's property. Krishna has put them there, right? So, Krishna has handed over them to you for a short period of time to look after them, right? Just like when you go far away from home for a few weeks or months, you tell your neighbors, keep a watch on my property, and you give them a set of keys and tell them you feed the cat, feed the dog or whatever it is. Newspapers, post, all these kind of things you hand over to the neighbors to do that, right? Similarly, it is similar to that, right? Once you come back, when you hand it over to them, they know that it's only a temporary arrangement for them to look after all these things. And they know that it is your property, that when you come back, they'll have to hand it over back to you. Till then, they look after that, right? Similarly, so property is not theirs then. It's your property, but they are temporarily managing it. And it is their responsibility to look after the property when you are away. And similarly, Krishna has given these people to look after for some time with you, right? As long as they are with you, you have the responsibility to look after them. Just like the neighbors have the responsibility to look after the property when you go away, right? And if you develop this way, the relationship with them, and then when you won't develop mamata, attachment won't build up inside, right? And their separation won't weaken you. You won't feel the weakness, right? So, that is what Krishna is saying in there, in that verse. Nirmamam, no mamada, niraham krati, yeah. Griheshu adhidivan vasan, it says. When a guest comes to your house, he won't have much attachment to your house or to you. He's just a visitor to the house. Just a visitor, right? And he will not think that he owns a house. He won't think that all the people at the home are his family members or anything. His relationship is on a different level. And otherwise, he is not a guest. Guest's position is like that. When he comes to your house, he's a guest, isn't it? Guest means that he hasn't got any responsibility in that house. He is not attached to anybody, but he has come to visit. That's all. He is not taking ownership of anything. And if he is not affected by anything but within the family, what is happening, right? In other words, he does not have excessive attachment to anyone in the house, right? And how he spends his time in the house, a guest, and then he leaves. In the same way, that means there is no ahanda, there is no mamada in that. Nirmamam niraham krida, Krishna is saying. And in that way, one should live at home, Krishna is saying. Itham, so these three verses, 52, 53 and 54, you can print them out and hang them up. And when you feel excessive concern or attachment to family members, just come and stand in front of that and read three verses. That's enough. You will come into some peaceful state. 52, 53 and 54. Krishna has put it very well, what one should do, householders should do. Itham parimrishan mukto griheshu adhidivad vasad na grihai anubadhyeta nirmamo niraham krida. So that is what that is here. Then he says, karma virgrahamedhiyai ishtva mameva bhaktiman trishted vanambo bhavishet prajavanva parivrajet. This problem, brahmacharis and sannyasis don't have. They only have to put the reels in the Facebook. That's the only problem they have got. They don't have these problems. If you give every day some wisdom to the world in one or two lines, that's the only headache they've got. They don't have any other problems. So, 52, 53, 54, for the householder to meditate upon, and to take it very seriously, then they will not get into trouble. They won't get into trouble if you do that. So here he is saying, karma bir grahamedhiya rishtuva mameva bhaktiman tishted vanam bova vishet prajavanva parivrajet. One who lives in householder life, grahasashramam, and living a lifestyle like that, and with the children everything, they are focused on me. And if he is doing all the karma in relationship with me, he should do like that and live like that. And if he is finding that there is so many children at home, and this problem is not there these days, and if he finds it is difficult to continue Krishna consciousness at home, then he can go to the forest. Or he can go to some isolated places and travel alone in some solitude somewhere else, right? So so Krishna is saying to grahasashramam that one should live at home and all the karmam should be Ishwararadhana. And if he has acquired sufficient purity of heart, chitta shuddhi, then In order to strengthen that Krishna consciousness, he can leave home and leave leave from home, walk away to other holy places or ashrams or somewhere, right? The purpose of household life is only to have children and good children, sal sandhana labham, right? And if you can give them a good life, develop some good children from that, and if you offer them to this world, some good people, then that is the greatest sadhana of a grihastha, grihastha sadhana. In order to give birth to good children who are beneficial for home and for the world, and become good citizens and who will give some benefit to this world, right? Who have got some good qualities and develop them into the, for the benefit of the world. So, so grihasashramam is for sandhanam, for children, nothing more than that. So, when they have grown up, sandhanam has grown up, then if they have properly trained, then a grihastha can leave home. There is no need to stay for him to stay at home, and he should withdraw from home. Upanishads also says like this, that Upanishad, how it is spoken is a little different way. He says that after you have spent your time at the spiritual master's place, Gurugulam, and the disciple goes home, to that disciple, Guru gives some advice at that time. He says, Matra Devo Bhava, Pitra Devo Bhava, Adhidi Devo Bhava, Acharya Devo Bhava, Swadhyaya Pramati Davyam, Pravachana Pramati Davyam. This is all in the Upanishads says like that. And they are saying that these things you should never give up, even when you go home. These are the advices given to him when he goes home after the Gurukulam education, right? What are they? Out of that is Swadhyayam and Pravachanam. Two things. Swadhyayam means studying, always absorbing the mind in spiritual knowledge and self-realization. And similarly, keep talking about it to others, teaching others as well. What they have learned, of course, in the Gurukula system, you study Vedam there and recite Vedam. And Veda Artha Vijaram. Artha Vijaram means analyzing and scrutinizing Vedam. This is why it takes such a long time. From the age of 7 or 8 it starts and then finishes at 22, 25, that age. So, such a long period of time. They were studying the Vedam, reciting the Vedam, and Artha Vijaram. Artha Vijaram means properly evaluating, understanding it, the meaning of that, right? So, those two things, the Guru will tell the disciple when he is going home after the education, Swadhyayam and Pravachanam. One should continue, one should not give up. Swadhyayam means studying the, what you have studied there. You should continue that study. And Pravachanam, and this, what you have understood from the Vedam, talk about it with others, right? In this way, you should expand your knowledge, Jnanam. So, Veda Tattva Jnanam, through Swadhyayam, and through Arthavijaram, it has to be expanded. And making that knowledge, what you have acquired, making it deeper inside, firmly footed inside. And this should be done throughout life. In that way, it kept done like that, and eventually, it should turn out to be your realization at the end. Up to this time, it's all on an intellectual level. But then it should be practiced and made it as your own realization, right? So, so evaluating or scrutinizing Vedam with its meaning and the message is, and reciting the Vedam that way is a sadhana process, atmiya sadhana, right? And it is a sadhana for self-realization. So, so that's what he is saying here. And so, what does it mean, he is saying here? Um, கர்மபிர் கிரகமேதியை விஷ்வா மாமேவ பக்திமான் திஷ்டேத் வனம் போபவிஷேத் பிரஜாவான் வா பரிவ்ரஜேத். தென் ஹி சேஸ் தட் தி லைஃப் இஸ் லைக் லைக் ஓபன் புக் இன் ஃப்ரண்ட் ஆஃப் அதர்ஸ், ரைட்? I have nothing to cover up from anybody, anything about this life, right? It's like a book fully open in front of you. If you feel that my activities, if you look good, then you can accept that. And if you feel something wrong, you don't have to follow that. Only what is in line with the Shastram you accept. Similarly, these are words a person, when he goes for Vanaprastham, who tells to his family members. When he goes for Vanaprastham, when he leaves home, he tells his children and the family members that, I'm leaving, my life is an open book. You can see whatever I have done, good things, and which is in line with the Shastram, you can accept that. What is not in line with the Shastram, if I have done something wrong, things, ignore it, don't take it, right? So, this is what in the Vedam says, when you go for Vanaprastham, what one should say to the family members, right? And that advice to the children is when you hand over the responsibility of the home, to the family members, and then he leaves. If that is not his situation, for example, why do we need Vanaprastham? Because you haven't developed sufficient vairagyam. That is why you need Vanaprastham. Vanaprastham is only because householder life we had sense gratification. We got used to that. And when we say austerities and penances, householder revolts straight away. He finds it difficult. So in order to make the householder to adjust with his life, gradually to bring him to sannyasam, he is sent, put through this process called Vanaprastham. This Vanaprastham is between grihastha and sannyasam. So idea of Vanaprastham is to prepare his mind for sannyasam, vairagyam. Sannyasam means vairagyam and knowledge, is it not? So, suppose in grihasthashramam itself, suppose you had so much bad experiences in grihasthashramam, you may have developed enough vairagyam then. Then you don't need vanaprastham, you can skip. You can take sannyasam straight away. Because we had not got enough kick in the grihasthashramam, you will carry on hanging on to it this way, that way, adjusting this, adjusting that. So, grihasthashramam is for sense gratification to some extent. It is not meant for that, but it happens like that. It becomes like that. In the outlook of the Vedam, from the Vedic point of Sanatana Dharmam, grihasthashramam is for self-realization. That's how it is seen in the Vedam. Grihasthashramam is seen an ashram for self-realization. Yeah. And therefore, his main occupation is to produce people, children, who are beneficial to the society. Yeah. And good children. And develop them as good citizens and give them to the society. That is householders' main responsibility, right? Because if you have such children, they are beneficial to the country and to the world. So, but instead of that, if upastham and jihwa, tongue and the genitals, it is only for that purpose marriage is, that is not sanatana dharmam, he is saying here. So, sometimes the problem is that these principles are not in practice anymore. This is the sanatana dharma principle, right? But now because of the modern, the modern legal systems and all that, the judges in the courts, when there is a family crisis, they take it in the different way. They look at it from the modern viewpoint. And they make, for example, a man wants to leave home. Then they are saying that you have not provided enough for the wife and children. And she will take him to the court. And the court makes the judgment in her favor, saying that... So you can see how the legal system works against the Sanatana Dharma. There are so many interesting cases, you can watch that paper. Yeah. So what is the use of a system like this then? When you have a system like that, right? So so this grahasthashramam, from the point of view of Sanatana Dharmam, is upholding a very high principle of helping people to realize the self somehow or the other. If they cannot do it at home, let them go and realize it somewhere else. And instead of helping that person to develop vairagyam and jnanam and bhakti, you are tying him down and giving him this kind of judgments against him. So, so that is an important thing to realize. The legal system also is against Sanatana Dharma. They will also go against you. In other words, everything is against the Shastram. Society also, they don't have the knowledge, nor the government also doesn't have, judiciary doesn't have. So, but to recognize that, Grahasthashramam is to produce good children. That's all the responsibility, right? So, so instead of this concept, what has happened now? Householder life has become partners. Now everybody is partner, isn't it? It has become partner, right? Partner means what? What is this partner thing? Partner. So, actually, even that has been prostituted, that word, partner, right? Partner is a business, you have partners, understandable, in business partner. But in householder life, how this partnership has come, right? Now, if you say, oh, they are just like friends, they are living together, they say, right? So, what does friend means? Suhrata. Suhrata Shastram says, one who is your well-wisher in all situations, not exploit you, but who is your well-wisher, who gives you all the help and give you the right advice based on the Shastram. He is your friend who is not saying anything to you just to make you happy. Instead, he is telling, giving you the right advice what you should do in life. Hitam. Hitakari. Hitopadesham. Right? He is what is called Suhrta in Shastram. Right? And but now with the modern system, this partners and this friends living together, all these things, it has taken a very corrupted form, and that has become acceptable to the judiciary as well. And judiciary accepts all that because it goes like this, right? And nobody says anything about that. And what it all these things does, destroy this grahasthashrama sangalpam. Proper grahasthashramam is destroyed by all these things. Grahasthashramam and family life is a very foundation of spiritual culture. It's a very foundation of spiritual culture, provided it is followed properly. So, that point is forgotten here. യസ്വാസക്തമതിർഗേ പുത്രവിത്തൈഷണാതുര സ്ത്രൈണം കൃപടതീർമൂഢോ മമാഹമിതി ബധ്യതേ. കൃഷ്ണൻ സെയിങ്, ഇഫ് യു ഗെറ്റ് ടു അറ്റാച്ച് ടു ഫാമിലി ലൈഫ്, ഇൻ ത്രീ വേഴ്സസ് കൃഷ്ണ ഇസ് ഗോയിങ് ടു സേ ദി എൻഡ് റിസൾട്ട് ഓഫ് ദാറ്റ്. വാട്ട് വിൽ ഹാപ്പൻ ഹിയർ? വൈഫ്, ചിൽഡ്രൻ, വെൽത്ത്, ദീസ് ആർ ദ ത്രീ മെയിൻ തിങ്സ് ഇൻ ഹൗസ് ഹോൾഡർ ലൈഫ്, ഇസ്ന്റ് ഇറ്റ്? വൈഫ്, ചിൽഡ്രൻ ആൻഡ് വെൽത്ത്. ഇഫ് യു ഡെവലപ്പ് അറ്റാച്ച്മെന്റ് ദെയർ, ത്രീ ഡിഫറെന്റ് നെയിംസ് ദേ ആർ സ്പോക്കൺ. വൺ ഈസ് മായ, അതർ വൺ ഈസ് മോഹം, തേർഡ് വൺ ഈസ് ഭ്രമം. ദീസ് ആർ ദ ത്രീ തിങ്സ് ദാറ്റ് വിൽ കം ഫ്രം ദാറ്റ്, മായ, മോഹം ആൻഡ് ഭ്രമം. റൈറ്റ്? ആൻഡ് ഹീ വിൽ ബി അണ്ടർ ദി ഹീസ് ഗൈഡ് വിൽ ബി ഓൾവേസ് ഫ്രം വൈഫ്. ഹി വിൽ ടേക്ക് ഗൈഡൻസ് ഇൻ ലൈഫ്. And that's a very unfortunate situation if that happens. Not trying to criticize anybody, but that is not their role. The man's role is to understand these things, right? And what will happen then is, he won't experience the miseries of material life. He won't feel it inside. Yeah? That means to see that this samsara, material existence, is meaningless. And this material existence has no value, this realization won't come to him when he becomes like that, dependent on the wife for advice. You can consult her, but you have to have your own personality to think, capacity to think and analyze things, right? And when what happens then is that all lifetime you will be working in a direction to acquire something, different things, and you will feel distressed about it, right? Because of this thinking, me and mine, and he will, whole lifetime, he will be in suffering throughout. That is what he is saying here. You see the words, Krishna is saying this, I am not saying, Krishna is saying, Estu asakta madir gehe putra viteshanatura strainam krupana dhir mudo mamaham idi badhyade. He is saying, a man has to know himself what is the right thing in all these circumstances. So their asakti, Krishna is saying, will create these problems, right? So ahanda and mamata, that will come strongly. And no strength inside, and atma balam, knowledge of the soul is not there. And through sadhana process and through dharmanushtanam, sadhananushtanam, ശാസ്ത്രം, ഇഫ് യു ഹാവ് നോട്ട് അക്വയർഡ് സഫീഷ്യന്റ് സ്പിരിച്വൽ സ്ട്രെങ്ത് ഇൻസൈഡ്, ദേ വിൽ ഹാവ് ദിസ് പ്രോബ്ലം ഓഫ് അഹന്ത ആൻഡ് മമത, ആൻഡ് ദേ വിൽ ഗെറ്റ് ബൗണ്ട് ഇൻ അറ്റ് ഹോം. കൃഷ്ണ ഇസ് സെയിങ് ദാറ്റ്. എസ്തു ആസക്ത മതിർഗേഹേ പുത്ര വിത്തേഷണാതുര സ്ത്രൈണം കൃപണം ധീർ മൂഢോ മമാഹം ഇതി ബധ്യതേ, സെഡ് ദാറ്റ്. And then in the next verse, Krishna is, these three verses, 56, 57 and 58, like the other three, 52, 53 and 54, 52, 53 and 54, the advice, and 56, 57 and 58, the disaster or the damage that will cause if you don't hear to other three, right? Ahau me pidharao vriddha bharya balalmajalmajaha അനാഥാമാമൃതേ ദീന കഥം ജീവന്തി ദുഃഖിതാഹ. അഹോ മേ പിതരോ വൃദ്ധൗ ഭാര്യാ ബാലാത്മജാത്മജ അനാഥാമാമൃതേ ദീന കഥം ജീവന്തി ദുഃഖിതാഹ. ദിസ് ലൈഫ് ഇൻ ദിസ് വേൾഡ്, മെറ്റീരിയൽ എക്സിസ്റ്റൻസ്, ഈസ് മിസറി, ഈസ് ഡിസ്ട്രെസ്ഫുൾ, റൈറ്റ്? ആൻഡ് what a householder will feel at this time, please. My parents have become very old. and my wife has got small children, and for them, except me, there is nobody else in this world. And if I don't look after them, who will look after them? These thoughts will keep coming inside, and he will be in distress all the time. Krishna says, such a person, where is he going to be happy in this world? Anadha mamrade dina katham jivandi dukhidaha. So, naturally everyone feels that I have to look after my parents, I have to look after my wife and children. We will say in a modern way, who will pay the bills, we will say. That's how we put it now. Who will pay the bills? Will you pay the bills then? They will ask like that. So, you must remember that before they came to your house, they were still living here. It's not that you maintained them. That's your misunderstanding, right? And before you were born, your parents were here. They lived in this world, right? And before you married a girl, she became your wife, she was living in this world, right? Similarly, and before you met your relations, they were living in this world. And same principle, if you are not there, they will still live here. You see, modern world creates this illusion in our head that you have to provide for 10 generations from now. You have to look after them. And you can see all the advertisements that comes out about that. Insurance. This is on your fear, they develop this insurance business. Because everybody is fearful about this. They know your weakness. That you will be concerned about their survival after death. As though you have signed a deed with Krishna that you will be looking after them for so many children. Who is looking after everybody? Krishna is looking after everyone. If you analyze it like the way Krishna is saying here, before you came here, the parents were here. Who looked after them? And before you met the girl and made her your wife, who looked after her? And to think that you are looking after everybody, you're maintaining them, that Brahman should go first, right? And similarly, relations also. Before you met them, they were living in this world. Maybe temporarily there will be a shock for them, but they will survive after that also. And they will find a way to survive in this world, right? Whether you are here or you are not there, nothing is going to happen to this world just because you have left this world, right? And to think that without me, how they will survive in this world, that thought should not develop in one's heart strongly. One should not develop that thought inside, right? And, you know, they give the example. Nowadays you won't see them, but old houses, in the old houses, made of wood, right? There will be wooden beams. And there will be a lizard sticking to the wooden beam. And the lizard is thinking, I am carrying this beam on my head. And that is how we are. That lizard, little lizard, you may see that in the old houses. It will give you an impression that he is holding this heavy beam, wooden beam, on its head. It's only the size, that lizard, right? So, it is similar, our situation is like that. Somehow or the other, we have injected this into our own head, that we have this responsibility, to look after the family, And it has gone so deep inside, that at the cost of your spiritual life, you are doing it now, to come to that level, right? And this is what's happening. You can see that. So, aho me pidarav vruddha bharya balalmaja almajaha anadha mamrade dina katham jivandi dukhidaha. Kadam jivandi dukhidaha. Krishna says that situation should not come in your life. At a certain stage in life, one should be able to pull out from all these things. Then last one. This is the final warning. Evam grihashayakshita hridayo mudhadhirayam adruttastan anudhyayan mrudo andham vishade tamaha. Evam grihashayakshita ಹೃದಯೋ ಮೂಢಧೀರಯಂ ಅದೃತ್ತಸ್ಥಾನನುಧ್ಯಾಯನ್ ಮೃದೋ ಅಂಧಂ ವಿಷದೇತಮ. ಇಫ್ ಯು ಆರ್ ಅಟ್ಯಾಚ್ಡ್ ಟು ದಿಸ್ ಗೃಹಂ ಫ್ಯಾಮಿಲಿ ಅಂಡ್ ಚಿಲ್ಡ್ರನ್ ಲೈಕ್ ದಟ್ ಯುವರ್ ಮೈಂಡ್ ವಿಲ್ ಬಿ ಲೈಕ್ ದಿಸ್ ಆಲ್ ದ ಟೈಮ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದಟ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಡ್ಯೂ ಟು ದಟ್ ಸ್ಪಿರಿಚುವಲ್ ನಾಲೆಜ್ ವೋಂಟ್ ಕಮ್ ಇನ್ ಸ್ಪಿರಿಚುವಲ್ ನಾಲೆಜ್ ವೋಂಟ್ ವರ್ಕ್ ಇನ್ ಸೈಡ್ ಇಟ್ ವಿಲ್ ನಾಟ್ ವರ್ಕ್ ರೈಟ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಪ್ರಾಪರ್ ನಾಲೆಜ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ವೋಂಟ್ ಗೆಟ್ ಇನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಯು ವೋಂಟ್ ಬಿ ಸ್ಯಾಟಿಸ್ಫೈಡ್ ವಿತ್ ಲೈಫ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಡೈಲಿ ಲೈಫ್ ರೈಟ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದಿಸ್ ಥಾಟ್ಸ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಚಿಲ್ಡ್ರನ್ ಆಲ್ ದ ಟೈಮ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಹೆಡ್ ವೆನ್ ದಟ್ ಡಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಲೀವ್ ಯು ಅಂಡ್ ವೆನ್ ದ ಬಾಡಿ ಇಸ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಟು ಲೀವ್ ಅಟ್ ದ ಟೈಮ್ ಆಫ್ ಡೆತ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಯು ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟು ಲೀವ್ ದಮ್ ಒನ್ಸ್ ಫಾರ್ ಆಲ್ ರೈಟ್ ಈವನ್ ಅಟ್ ದಟ್ ಟೈಮ್ ದಿಸ್ ಮೆಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ಎಕ್ಸಿಸ್ಟೆನ್ಸ್ ವಿಲ್ ಟೇಕ್ ಕಂಟ್ರೋಲ್ ಆಫ್ ಯುವರ್ ಕಾನ್ಶಿಯಸ್ನೆಸ್ ಅಟ್ ದಟ್ ಟೈಮ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದೇರ್ ಫಾರ್ ಡೈರೆಕ್ಟ್ಲಿ ಯು ವಿಲ್ ಬಿ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಪೋರ್ಟೆಡ್ ಟು ಹೆಲ್ ಈ ಸೇಯಿಂಗ್ ಹಿಯರ್ ಮೃದೋ ಅಂಧಂ ವಿಷದೇತಮ ಒನ್ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಟು ಬಿ ಕೇರ್ಫುಲ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ದಟ್ ರೈಟ್ ದಿಸ್ ಅತ್ಯಾಸಕ್ತಿ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿಸ್ ಅಟ್ಯಾಚ್ಮೆಂಟ್ one will not get that release from the cycle of birth and death because of this attachment and again you will come back in some form here again connected with that family once it so happened there was a one Bhagavata Saptaham was going on in one place Jnanananda Saraswati was speaking And he is very good at it. He was Shivananda Saraswati's direct disciple, Swami Shivananda Saraswati's disciple. Very learned person and very, therefore Shivananda Saraswati gave him the name Jnanananda Saraswati. And when Shivananda Saraswati, you know, Divine Life Mission, when he spoke Srimad Bhagavatam, he will ask Jnanananda Saraswati to lecture sometimes and he used to read also Bhagavatam for him. He will be the main reader and then he spoke. Many years he spent with him. In Hrishikesh. So this Jnananda Saraswati was doing a saptaham one time and a lot of people were coming and there was a small goshala with that ashramam also. A few cows were there and one of those cows that cow was always making that sound. The cow's way of making the sound. So they were trying to stop the cow from making that sound. And because there was not so much facilities them days, and the sound was disturbing the thing. And the sister said, don't bother. He was here before. It has now come in the cow's body. And due to his attachment here, he got this cow's body here. Fortunately, he heard Bhagavatam, therefore he got the cow's body, he said. But the attachment was so strong that he had lived in this place before, that is why he is keep on doing this. Because so some people can see subtle things like that. There are so many subtle things they notice what we don't notice. For example, you see the street dogs in India, and normally children throw stones at them. Everybody throws stones at them to get rid of them from there, because they come and barking at you all the time. After Manaka Gandhi brought that rule, you can't kill them. They have been let free now. And they are always in groups hanging around in different locations. And when you are not done anything to them, you are just walking in the street, they will come barking at you. So these street dogs, if you throw stone at them and you hit them hard, they feel the pain, right? So what they do, they will run away. And when they run away, they will run after distance when they know they are safe enough that you can't throw stones at them anymore, they will turn back and look at you for what you have done, right? That is their curse on you for what you have done to them. They curse you. They all curse you. All animals. They curse you if you do these things to them. It's not that they may not express it through words like the way we do, but animals also have got the power of curse in that way. So animals' behavior and animals' reactions is a different level, in different plane. But people who are very advanced in spiritual life, they can identify that very well. And they will say that to you. This is what it is. Why this has happened, right? So here Krishna is saying this, that if you spend attached to home strongly and maintain this ahamta and mamata, and feeling always dissatisfied, thinking about them. And if you leave the body in that state of consciousness, then you will come back again here. And that will be somewhere around them only, connected with them, in some other form. You won't know that, they won't know that. But the rules are such that you have to come back and be with them, because you have left the body with that attachment. That is the danger in that. So you decide you want to be with the same family again in the next life, when you come back. After this family has given so much happiness in life, that's up to you. So one has to make that decision. Do I want to be with the same family? If you're feeling, but the only thing is you won't know that this was the same family you spent the life before, the last life. But the danger is this, that because you will leave the body with this attachment, that alone is sufficient to bring you back with them again in the next life. In some form, you will appear. Sometimes you can appear. There's another story about that. That's a snake story, yeah, snake and the sannyasi, so you know. So what it is. So grihasashramam is like that. Mamada nirasam, mamada attachment, right? And it tightens and tightens strongly inside, and you feel that you're not able to come out of it. You're always thinking, oh, I'll do all these things, and when then I have time, then I will do some spiritual activities. That doesn't work. You got to break at the right time itself, right? And all it means is, execute the grihasthashramam with proper discrimination, right? Purpose of grihasthashramam is self-realization, bhagavad prapti. Understand what Krishna is saying. So, grihasthashramam can carry on, but in a way that it does not hinder or interfere in your spiritual life. The goal of all ashramam is self-realization, right? And proper grihasthashramam, if it is executed, it is a bhakti sadhana in that way. So, and the bhakti sadhana is for bhagavad prapti, to go back to Krishna. If you forget all that, grihasthashrami, on the other hand, develops a lot of mamata to the family and live in that state of consciousness whole life, bhoga asakti, bhoga lalasata, bhoga sukham, then he will drown himself and falls into samsara gartham, and that is the end result of that. With that warning, Krishna finished the 17th chapter. Evam grihashaya kshipta hrudayo mudhadhirayam adhurtvasthan anudhyayan mrudo andham vishade tamaha. You cannot ignore these instructions in life. You cannot. It is as much as Bhagavad Gita, not different from Bhagavad Gita, as powerful as Bhagavad Gita. That's what I said in the beginning. Sri Shukla Brahmarshi sees Ekadasha Skandam, summary of the Vedam. Ajari Swamiji says Bhagavad Gita as the summary of the Upanishads. Sarva Vedartha Sara Sangraha Bhudam Durvijnayartham, and most difficult to understand. And this Ekadasha Skandam is also like that, Durvijnayartham. And that is why it's not spoken mostly. Like Bhagavad Gita also. Bhagavad Gita, you can study it, and then as you keep on studying it, you start realizing the depth of it. How many things we have not understood from Bhagavad Gita. When you start realizing that, you see the depth of Bhagavad Gita also. So with that we finish that chapter, and then the next chapter is the house Vanaprastham and Sannyasam. There is a difference in Bhagavad Gita and here. The difference is that Narada Maharshi, when he discussed Varnashrama Dharma in the 7th canto, mostly he spoke grihasthashramam. Have you noticed that? It was grihasthashramam he discussed. Who? Sri Narada Maharshi. What was the reason? Because he was talking to a householder, Yudhishthira. Right? He was talking to a householder, Yudhishthira. Therefore, more stress or a detailed discussion was centered around grihasthashramam in the 7th canto. Krishna, on the other hand, when he spoke to Uddhava, Knowing well, Uddhava is a sannyasi stage he is. He didn't give importance to grihasthashramam. He gave importance to vanaprastham and sannyasam more than the grihasthashramam. That you will find now in this 18th chapter when you go through that. Yeah. So, Yudhishthira was a grihastha. So, therefore, he was not qualified for a sannyasam. Who? Yudhishthira. So, Yudhishthira was given a thorough understanding of grihasthashramam by Narada Maharshi. Here what you find, that he has got a disciple here, Uddhava, who is ready for sannyasam. Uddhava is ready for sannyasam, right? So, even though he has not officially taken sannyasam, danda and all that, his state of life is in that state now, old person, he is same age as Krishna. So, practically, you can say that Krishna left, he was 125 years old. When Krishna left, when we say 125 years old, means that that is the amount of time he has spent in this world. And he is leaving. So, practically, Uddhava is also the same stage, 125 years old. So, that means there is no householder life now for Uddhava. That's all over. Householder life, brahmachari life, all that is not relevant anymore. So, a person who is adhikari, qualified for sannyasam, and he is the listener now, shrodava, right? And that Uddhava is the person who asked Krishna to give the instructions, advice, right? So, looking into Uddhava's position, Krishna has spoken sannyasa dharmam here, right? So, that is why vanaprastha sannyasa dharmam is spoken in detail here. Vanaprastha sannyasa dharma, right? So that's how it begins, right? So, Shri Bhagavan Vacham Vanam Vivikshu Putreshu Bharyam Nyasyasahaivava Vana eva vasil chanda tridiyam bhagama yushaha. In this 18th chapter, Krishna is going to talk about yeti, sannyasis, their dharma mainly. And there also, based on their qualifications, what differences exist. In grihasthashramam, you have finished that, and you have produced children who have and executed your dharmam properly, grihasthashrama dharma. Afterwards, one who wants to go into vanaprastha ashramam, then he should hand over the wife to be looked after by the children. That's how vanaprastha ashramam begins, right? It is not, if the wife is enthusiastic enough to realize herself, and she wants to accompany, she is allowed to come to the forest with the husband, right? Either with the wife or without wife, he can go to the forest, right? And they should live in the forest till they are 75 with the control of the senses and engaged in intense sadhana, very difficult sadhana it is, what is spoken here for the vanaprastha ashramam. Pretty difficult. Practically you can say impossible in these days. Right? But after coming to the forest and seeing life is very difficult there, coming back home again to continue the householder life, Krishna says don't do that. In that case don't go to the forest, stay at home. If you cannot do it, right? Because after 75 years, the body becomes very weak. And even though you may have not acquired sufficient vairagyam, Krishna is saying, it is better to take sannyasa ashram then. And that is why these 75 years, tridiyam bhagam ayusha, he says, is fixed there, around 75. Once for all you leave. Finish, and then whatever time is left, you be a sannyasi's life. You follow, yeah? So, later on, Krishna will say, Tapa Iksha Vanaugasam, about Vanaprastha, he will say like this later on. Tapa Iksha Vanaugasam, Tapasa Iksha. This is the main occupation of a Vanaprastha Ashrami. Grihastha, he said that, Grihastha Bhudarachedya, protecting other living entities, Grihastha's duty. Vanaprastha's duty is Tapasa and Iksha. At the end, he will say this, right? So, he will mention each ashramam, what is their main responsibility. When he says that at the end of this chapter, he will say that, right? So, what is tapasa? Concentration of the mind on the andaryami. And we draw the mind and the senses from sense objects. And fully focused in the andaryami and continuous anisandhanam inside, and that is vanaprastha dharmam. Main vanaprastha dharmam is that tapasa and iksha. So here, based on the shastram, vanaprastha dharmam Krishna is speaking. So therefore, when he is saying that concentration, ekagrada, chitta ekagrada, that one should be able to make that connection with the andaryami inside and able to continue that Bhagavad anusandhanam, atma anusandhanam, and that is spoken very specifically here. Vanaprastham's main engagement is that, right? So, all mundane life is over then, laugigam. Material life is over, and all the transactions, what we conduct in this world, vyavaram, vyavaram, is all over. You don't do vyavaram in Vanaprastha Ashramam. You close all your, you know, all the transactions in this world. Whatever bills you have to pay, you pay, and finish that. Yeah. And that means you have become free completely from the mundane dharma. And only then you will have the, you will be able to focus properly on the goal of the self, right? And able to perform that anisandhanam through dhyanam and absorbs, means that through Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, absorb as much as possible in what Krishna has spoken. And all the higher principles what Krishna has spoken, keep meditating on that. And in that way, keep that connection with the andaryami strong, like he has spoken in Bhagavatam, different places, Bhagavad Gita, different places. He has said that, right? And in this way, working very hard with this anisandhanam in the forest, is that is what Vanaprastha Ashramam is meant for. So, if the Grihastha Ashrama Dharmam is properly executed, if it was properly done, he would have developed sufficient sattugunam by then to doing that. He will have developed sufficient sattugunam. In this way, he is more capable of doing that because of the effect of sattugunam, right? And and because of that, all kinds of, he will be able to withdraw from. If sattugunam develops in a person, what happens? Sanjayate jnanam. He will be ready for knowledge, spiritual knowledge, right? And he will be able to withdraw from the world easily if sattugunam is inside. And he will be able to engage in the sadhana anushtanam properly. And that way, spending the time completely in anusandhanam of shastram and other sadhana, and total involvement in that is vanaprastham. Vanaprastham, right? So, at that time, you can follow either the bhakti sadhana, or yoga sadhana, or jnana sadhana. But the idea is that Bhagavata dharmam, what Krishna has given to us in Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, that should be in your, the topmost topic within your mind. Nothing else, right? And Krishna is saying here, when you are absorbed in that meditation inside, that is a meditation. Meditation is not form only. Meditation is these thoughts coming from Krishna. And whatever sadhana you have chosen, for like bhakti sadhana or jnana sadhana or yoga sadhana, you can follow that, and that is vanaprastha dharma. So, a person who wants to come to this vanaprastha dharma, he can take his wife with him if she is favorable and agreeable. If not, give the responsibility to the children to look after her. And then vanaprastha ashramam, he can leave home and begin as vanaprasthi. And that is the third stage of life. Third stage of life. And that is what he is mentioning here. Vanam vivikshu putreshu bhāryām nyasya sahaiva va vanam eva vase shanda tridiyam bhagamayusha. First verse. Then, kandamoola bhaler vanye medhir vrittim prakalpayet vasida valkalam vasastrana parnajinani cha. The body you have to maintain with the fruits and other vegetables or whatever that is, or the roots what's available there in the forest with that. And you're not allowed to kill animals and all eat them in the vanaprastha ashram, like the deer or rabbits or anything. This is, I can take anything from the forest. No, only those things, what's allowed, right? Then you can cover yourself with the bark of the tree. And then if deer skin is available, you can use that. only to the minimum, to cover the lower parts of the body. Upper parts, no need to cover. Only the lower parts of the body to be covered, right? Kesha roma nakashmashrum alani bidriyadada na dhaved apsumajeda trigalam standileshaya. You shouldn't cut your hair anymore. Cut your nails. Beard you can grow. And not concerned about brushing the teeth so much. Morning, midday and evening you have to bathe in a tank or a river fully going in underneath the water. And no, you point in using all the. You should not take all your toiletries with you when you go there, and then come to the town to the Sainsbury's when you want to buy your toiletries. That's not vanaprastha. Vanaprastha means it's so difficult. When you read this, you can see that how far we have gone from this. Yeah, and to people when you say all these things, they think this is some primitive ideas. They consider like that. They think it's all very primitive. Yeah. And you should sleep on the floor. No mattress, just sleep on the floor with the hand as the pillow. One is supposed to sleep, right? So that is vanaprastha ashramam. Krishna is saying that idea is that somehow you have to keep the body, that's all. There's no more beautifying the body or making the body to, you're not thinking of living a very long time in this world anymore. As long as the body lives, let it live. Prarabdham will keep it going as long as it's meant to stay, right? So, so totally dependent on the nature there. And as he mentioned there, he can eat all those things. And then he also mentioned that Deha Shushrusha, looking after the body, minimum. Bodily maintenance, minimum, right? And also, he says here that things like, washing the clothes, no laundry there. Then, similarly, you should bathe all the three times, and you can use the mud to clean the body, not the modern things, right? And sleep on the floor. No pillows allowed. Grishme tapyeda panchagni, varsha swasara shat jale, ആകണ്ഠമന്ദമഗ്ന ശിശിരം ഏവം വൃത്തസ്തപശ്ചരയൽ. ഇൻ ദി സമ സീസൺ പഞ്ചാഗ്നി വിദ്യ വൺ ഷുഡ് പ്രാക്ടീസ്. പഞ്ചാഗ്നി വിദ്യ മീൻസ് യു സിറ്റ് ഇൻ എ പ്ലേസ് അണ്ടർ എ ഹോട്ട് സൺ, ഓൾ അറൌണ്ട് യു ഫോർ സൈഡ്സ് ഫയർ, ബേൺ ഫയർ, ഫയർ യു മേക്ക് ഫയർ. സോ ടോപ് ദർ ഈസ് ഹീറ്റ് ഫ്രം ദ സൺ, ഓൺ ഓൾ ദ ഫോർ സൈഡ്സ് ഹീറ്റ് ഫ്രം ദി ഫയർ, യു മേക്ക് എ ഫയർ ആൻഡ് സിറ്റ് ഇൻ ദ മിഡിൽ ഓഫ് ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ഫോർ പ്ലസ് വൺ ഫൈവ് പഞ്ചാഗ്നി മദ്യം ഇൻ ദ മിഡിൽ ഓഫ് ദാറ്റ്. ദെൻ ഇൻ റെയിനി സീസൺ ഇറ്റ് വിൽ റെയിൻ, സോ ഹോൾ തിങ് വിൽ ഫോൾ ഓൺ യു. Don't go for a raincoat or don't take any raincoat when you go with you for the rainy season. And similarly, in the winter times, even the water is cold, go into the water and stand in the cold water up to neck and then chant Gayatri standing there like that. Tapasya. So, heat and cold. Heat and cold, if that sukham dukham, which brings that heat and cold, one should overcome that by taking Krishna's advice on that. How to overcome heat and cold? Shidoshna sukha dukhada. Knowing that, they come and they go. It is only for the body, not for me. That way you should separate from the heat and cold. When you identify with the body, then you suffer. And in this way, if you perform the penances, tapasya, the mind will stop its running around and develop that shanti. That is what evam bhakta tapascharel, he is saying, right? So that's the important thing. Panchagni Vidya. In the Paramahamsa's life, Sharada Devi was there. Paramahamsa went with Sharada Devi and performed this for some time. Right? There was a yogini, a lady yogi. And she was... she performed this. She performed this Vanaprasthashramam alone. She did that. So you can see sometimes such strong-minded people in men and women, both. So she was able to do that, and she said that she didn't feel the heat. She did the Panchagni Vidya and also went into the water when it was very cold and stayed in the water. So, apparently, if one has followed this process, Panchagni Vidya and others, gradually you develop this capacity to tolerate heat and cold. Heat and cold, yeah. So, when Krishna spoke that verse, he had this in his mind, obviously, to tell us that it is possible to tolerate heat and cold, and happiness and distress, but it has to be practiced. If the knowledge goes inside sufficiently, and if you, not on a buddhi level, but in a practical level, if it is experienced inside, Krishna's point is heat and cold won't disturb you anymore. You become, your identification with the body goes away. The more you identify with the body, you feel the heat and cold. So it says here, this lady, she was so advanced spiritually due to her bhakti in the heart, bodily discomforts or bodily inconveniences didn't matter to her anymore. She has practiced it throughout life that way. So if you have practiced it in early life, it won't be a difficult thing. When you have not practiced it before, that is when it becomes a problem, when you go into this Vanaprastha Ashrama, all these things, right? And she had practiced, developed bhakti so much in her early life that when she went into this ashram, she did not feel it because of her bhakti in the heart. Right? Practically, she was not conscious of her own body. To that extent, she was free from the body. She didn't have the dehabodham in her. So, in that way, Krishna says this, Panchagni Vidyam, everything. Then he is saying, Agni Pakvam Samasniyat Kala Pakvam Athapi Va Ulukhala Ashma Kutto Va Dando Ulukhala Meva Va Agni Pakvam Samasniyat. The roots, for example, what you can get, either potatoes or sweet potatoes, whatever you can get, or what you call the other things, the roots, what you, the, all the things what you get from the ground, from the bottom of the ground. Those things, you can make a fire and then put them in and then eat them. Fruits, whatever available in the forest, in due course of time they get ripened, you can eat them. Then grains, whatever is available, you can put them with the stone grind. You don't take from here grinder and all, but the grinders, you have to make grinder there with the stones available, and with the stones you have to grind them and remove their skin and use them. If you don't have that facility, it says here, Ulukhala ashma kuttova dando ulukhala mevava. You should, if you have the teeth, use the teeth to grind the grain, to remove the skin. Dando ulukhala mevava. Use the dandam as ulukhalam, as the grinder. The teeth as the grinder. So when you read this, and the kind of things what we will need if we go on a vanaprastham. We don't have dentist there to fix the teeth. And we don't have the grinder, air fryer and grinder and all the other, so many machines in the kitchen. All the machines will be missing there. So you'll come back straight away next day. Back into household or ashram again. So anyway, Krishna is saying here that standing in the Udagavasam, that's what they call it, to stand in the cold water for a long period of time and not affected by that, right? He should be able to tolerate excess heat and excess cold, both, right? And so, basic principle of Vanaprastha Ashram is sadhana, upasana, yeah? And in order to make that happen, to have good sadhana, this thing will help. Excessive heat and excessive cold. Yes? It is for that purpose, in order to make it more intense, the spiritual sadhana process, it is for that purpose that you are forcing yourself for heat, excessive heat and cold. If you suffer a lot with the body, means that bodily discomfort, inconveniences for the body, if it increases a lot in the life, then in all seasons you will be able to tolerate. In all seasons. You won't be very particular about this season or that season. If your body is used to this heat and cold very much, other seasonal changes won't have any effect on you. And so that's what he's saying here. And then you will have more time for japam, dhyanam, all the other sadhana processes. Right? Then he says, next verse, swayam. Yeah. Swayam sanjinuyat sarvam, almano vritti karanam, ദേശകാലം ബലം അഭിജ്ഞോ നാദതീതന്യദാഹൃതം. ഈവൻ വെൻ ഈസ് ഫീലിംഗ് ഹെൽത്തി, ഹീ ഷുഡ് കലക്ട് ഹിസ് ഓൺ ഫുഡ് ഫ്രം ദ ഫോറസ്റ്റ്. Another thing is that he should only collect it for that particular day. He should not start another storeroom there to store all his food for the next few months or for the whole vanaprastham time. He should not store the food for the next day, it says. Yeah? What you need for that day, you can collect. Use it that day, and the next day you should go out and collect again. Yeah? If it is difficult to do that, sometimes 1 or 2 days it is allowed. But if others will keep coming visiting you in your vanaprastha ashram and they bring you some food, that you should not accept it. You should go and collect it yourself. Because suppose children think that, oh, my parents are having vanaprastha ashram, let me take some nice prasadam for them and bring it to you in the forest to help you for a vanaprastha ashram, you are not allowed to accept it. You don't leave your number or address or anything with them when you go to the forest, because this is what you are trying to get rid of, and then you bring them back again into your life. And one day what will happen is, you will come back to house after that with them. This is the problem. There's the stories about that, you know. The famous story, yeah? One man took sannyasam. He went to the forest, right? And one day he he put his clothes to dry. Some rats came and bitten that clothes. So he said, if I bring a cat, it will be good. So he went back to his village and brought a cat to get rid of the rats, right? And then the cat was there, but you have to feed the cat. Cat needs milk. So he said, it will be nice if we have a cow. So he goes back to the village again. He brought a cow there then to provide for the cat, the milk. So the house has started slowly coming back into the forest. First the cat came and then the cow came. Then he thought to milk the cow. Wife used to milk the cow at home. So he thought, if I can bring her, she can do the milking of the cow. So he went and brought the wife also. So started vanaprastha ashramam, sannyasam, and ended up in the grihastha ashram at the end. The cat came, the cow came, and the wife came. And because he thought, if the wife comes, she can do the milking of the cow, and then she will do some cooking also, then he doesn't have to waste time cooking. So this way, this sannyasi eventually thought, wife told him, why we suffer here like this? Why don't we go back and live together in the village? So the sannyasi, with wife, with the cow, with the cat, went back to the same house where they came from. Or the sannyasashramam finished there. So this is how it is. Once you leave home, that's it. No coming back again. No coming back again. Yeah. So that's what. So here he's saying that as much as possible that connection has to be broken. Vanyai charu purodashir nirvabed kala chodidan nadu shraudena pashina mam yajeda vanashrami. If you get somebody comes in the ashramam, then whatever you have there, what you are eating, if you want to offer them, you can offer them. And all violent activities should not happen. No violence at any stage, right? And no himsa, in other words. No himsa under any circumstances for vanaprastha ashramam, because it's preparation for sannyasa ashramam. Sannyasa ashramam, when you take, you're telling the world, nobody has to be fearful of me to all the living entities in this world. That is sannyasa ashramam. Jnanam sannyasa lakshanam. That realization, all living entities has a right to live in this world. And recognition of that, and saying to the whole world, nobody need to be fearful about me. I won't give any pain to anyone. That declaration is sannyasa ashram. And that is the knowledge. That means he is seeing Krishna's presence in everything. Ishavasamidam sarvam. That realization. That is the sannyasi stage. So in preparation to that, is this, that you become totally conscious of this one thing, non-violence, ahimsa. Yeah. So no karma which involves violence under any circumstances. Yeah. That's what he is saying here. Agnihotram, so many things mentions. So he's saying that Agnihotram, Dashavurnam Asam, all these things, Vanaprasthan also has to do. When you go for Vanaprastham, you have to take the Agni with you, right? Tredag, this is all based on the Vedic times. So you have to remember, when we read it, we may not feel what am I supposed to take from here home. They had what you call as Treta Agni. There is three different fires at home. Ahavini Agni, Garhavati Agni, there is one more Agni mentioned. Three Agnis you will have at home. And that Agni is supposed to burn all the time. Right? So Treta Agni, he says, which is a part which is performed for Agnihotram. That Agnihotram, he has to continue performing in the forest. On the full moon day and the new moon day, they do what they call as Ishti. And that is called a Dashapurnamasam. This is all you can see in the books, it tells what they have to do. And in order to do that, he has to collect all the fruits and the and phalamulam, roots and the fruits, everything from the forest. And that is a havis for offering into the fire. So Agnihotram, what he was doing at home, he has to do it in the forest as well, in the Vanaprastham stage. Sannyasashram, you become free. So Vanaprasthashramam, you take these things, but at home you had ghee and other things, but in ashramam, in the forest, you don't have that. So you will have to use the fruits and the other roots, what is available there, instead of the ghee. And the grains, what you have collected there, whatever grains, that should be used. So, your diet also changes naturally with what is available there. You can't think like your diet here, that, you know. So, main focus is on fruits and the roots. That's your main diet. Fruits and the roots. Fruits means all kinds of fruits, like, you know, it's not necessarily the fruits what we call as apples and oranges and all that, but there are other types of things as well. All kinds of fruits you are allowed to have. Bhalam Moolam. And in this way he says that, and one should acquire it oneself. That's the important thing. You should not receive it from anybody else if they bring that. Why is that? Aparigraham. Aparigraham, right? If you accept that, that means you have become dependent on somebody else. What one needs for oneself, he should acquire himself, right? Then he said that Sri Narada Maharshi also said that in his instructions in the 7th canto, right? In Vanaprastha Ashramam, whenever you get new thing, the old one you should renounce. Old ones. Every time you may get some new things in the forest also, then the old ones you should give up. Old one you should give up. Whether it is deer skin or anything for that matter. Whatever you are using in your daily life. In other words, accumulation is not allowed. You are not allowed to keep, let that stay as a spare, or I'll keep in my wardrobe this thing. No wardrobe, nothing there, just living in the forest, right? Then he says here, so when you get something new, throwing away the old ones, that is what is called that based on the desham kalam, yeah, based on the desham kalam, whatever that is, you can accept it based on the time and based on the place where you are at. For example, if you get a lot of fruits, and on that particular day, quite a lot of fruits is left back, then you should throw that away. Next day you should collect fresh fruits, right? If you couldn't get anything, then you are allowed to eat. But keeping it as a storage is not allowed. It means no fridge. Freezer also no. No fridge freezer. Not allowed. So, that is what Deshakala Abhidham means. Narada Maharshi used that word. Desham Kalam. Accordingly you eat. And also you are not allowed to use anything if anybody comes and brings it for you, something. Agnihotram, when you perform what you get in the forest, alone you should offer. And Agnihotram, Ishti Agrahayanam, all these things are in detail spoken elsewhere. It should be fresh grains what you have collected for Agnihotram. You should not collect grains and keep it. I'll use it for everyday Agnihotram, but fresh grains. And Agnihotri should do that. In this way, Agnihotram is performed and Vanaprastham has to do it. Vanaprasthashrami has to do Agnihotram. Bhalam Moolam. Bhalam means fruits. Moolam means roots. And also the grains, what you have acquired. And Pashu Alabhanam. Killing the animals. Alabhanam means blocking their breeding and killing them. That's called Alabhanam. In Yagam, that is how they kill the animals. You don't do the cutting them with the throat, slitting the throat. You don't do that. You block their breathing and kill them. That's called Pashu Alabhanam. The mantram you chant at that time is that I am being killed in this Yagam like this, but in my next life, he will get a human body. It doesn't have to go through it. It is guaranteed that way for that animal. That is based on the Shastram, right? Then Agnihotram ja darshasya Purnamasascha Purvavat Chadur Masyanicham Munir Amnadanicham Naigamai. Agnihotram, Tarpanam, Sangramam, Chadurmasyam. All these things should be continued even in the forest, right? And that can be done with the help of the fruits and the grains available from the forest, right? You don't have to use the ghee and you don't have to use the plasha, that is a particular tree, and from there where you collect the leaves for that. Yeah. In this way, all the kriya should be performed. Agnihotram, darsham, purnamasam, sangramam, chaturmasyam, all these things should be performed, it says. We'll have a break now.
चेतो दर्पणमार्जनम् वोमहादावाग्निनिर्वापणम् श्रेयकैतवचन्द्रियाविदरणम् विद्यावधू जीवनम् आनन्दाम्बुदिवर्धनम् प्रतिवदपूर्णामृतास्वादनम् सर्वाप्नास्वनम् वरम् विजयदे श्रीकृष्णसङ्कीर्तनम् नाम्नामकार्य बहुधा निज सर्वशक्ति तत्रार्पिता नियमिता स्मरणेन काला भगवन् ममावि दुर्दैवमेदशमिहाजनिमानुराधाः तृणारवीषुनीचैना तरोरवी सहिष्णुना अमानिना मानदेना कीर्तनीयः सदा हरि न धनं न जनं न सुन्दरीं कविदां वा जगदीशकामयीं मम जन्मनि जन्मनीश्वरे भवदाल् भक्तिरहैदगि त्वयि अयि नन्दतनुज किङ्करां पतितां मांशमे भवाम्बुदौ कृपया तौ पादपङ्कजस्थितदौली सदशं विचिन्तय नयनं गणदशुधारया वदनं गद्गदरुद्धया गिरा पुलकैर्निजितं गदा भवो तव नाम ग्रहणे भविष्यति युगायुधं निमेषेण चक्षुषा प्राविशायुधं शून्यायुधं जगत्सर्वं गोविन्दविरहेण मे आश्लिष्य वा पादरदां विनष्टु माम् अदर्शनां मर्महदां करोतु वा यथा तदा वा विदधा दुलम्बडो मल्प्राणनाथा सुनैवनापरा सर्वत्र गोविन्दनाम सङ्कीर्तनम् गोविन्द गोविन्द
ഏവം ചീർണേന തപസ മുനിർധമനി സന്തത മാം തപോമയമാരാധ്യ ഋഷിലോകാതുപൈതി മാം. സോ ടിൽ ദിസ് എയ്ത്ത് വേഴ്സ് വാട്ട് കൃഷ്ണൻ സേയ്സ്, ഓൾ ദീസ് പെനൻസസ് ഓസ്റ്ററിറ്റീസ് ആൻഡ് പെനൻസസ് തപസ് ഇഫ് ഡൂയിങ് ദാറ്റ് വാട്ട് വിൽ ഹാപ്പൻ ഈസ് ദാറ്റ് ദി ഓൾ ദ വെയിൻസ് നാഡീസ് വിൽ കം ഔട്ട് ഇൻ ദ ബോഡി ബിക്കോസ് ഓഫ് ദ സിവിയറിറ്റി ഓഫ് ദ പെനൻസസ് ആൻഡ് സച്ച് എ മുനി ഹൂസ് ബോഡി ഹാസ് ഷ്രങ്ക് നോ ഫ്ലഷ് ഇൻ ദ ബോഡി ഇറ്റ് ഹാസ് ബിക്കം സോ thin. Then he says, if that he has executed that vanaprasthashramam properly with the tapasya, then what will happen is he will be transported to Maharlokam after leaving this world, and then in course of time to the higher planets from there. He'll go to Janalokam, Tavalokam, Satyalokam and get liberated. So if vanaprasthashramam is followed seriously, like the way Krishna has spoken, somebody does that, he says the result is that he will, because of his, and that has to, obviously, in vanaprasthashram there is no desires then, like material life, isn't it? There is no material life anymore. So that is a real spiritual sadhana. If he does that, he says, he comes to Hrishilogadupaidimam. Hrishiloga means Maharlokam. Then the place where the rishis live, and he will come there. And because of his purified, subtle body, he becomes liberated in course of time. And even if he does not realize the self here, even if he doesn't realize the self here, he said he will get through this krama mukti. If he realizes a self here, then he does not, he will get sadhya mukti. But if he didn't realize a self, after all these austerities and penances, he will go through the krama mukti process. And in the first step, he will be brought to Mahalogam. That's what Krishna is saying that. So, so after you have executed vanaprastha dharmam, you have practically become only the bones left in the body. Such a severe austerity, right? And you all become very pure in your consciousness, Shuddha Jnanam, Tapomayam. And first he will go to Maharlokam, and from Maharlokam gradually he will come up and come back to me, Krishna says. So if his subtle body is purified enough, and he has developed that bhakti from here, then he can come back to me, Krishna says. And if there is still opposing samskaram, that means which is unfavorable samskaram inside, which is conflicting with your spiritual samskaram, right? In other words, mind is not, still not pure, and vasanas are still there, and then only this krama mukti will happen. Yeah. Otherwise, sadhyamukti is possible, he says, if he completely gets purified. Sadhyamukti is possible. And so, kramamukti and sadhyamukti we discussed in the second canto. Yeah. So, suppose he has succeeded here to develop bhakti while in the vanaprastha ashramam, and then he will be able to achieve sadhya mukti here. All he has to move into sannyasa ashramam, and then he will go get liberated here itself. There is no need to go through the krama mukti process. So krama mukti, sadhya mukti, you must always remember both what that means, right? In second canto, he started that, Shuka Brahmarshi talking to Parikshit about these two, Kramamukti and Sadhyamukti. If you succeed here in spiritual life, if you succeed here, you get Sadhyamukti. If you fail here, you go through Kramamukti. And if you didn't make any of these things, you go to Pitralokam. You come back again. And if you have been very sinful, you go to Yama's place for the hellish experiences, Samyamini Puri. That's where decisions are made. You'll go to Pitralokam. Pitralokam, the decisions will be made in which family, which country, or which place where you have to take your next birth, who will the parents, who the parents should be, what kind of body. All these decisions are made in Pitralokam. That is why this Pitrakarmam is given so much importance. Because most of the people know that they are coming back. We all know that. We are all sitting here with a return ticket to come back. Neither Krama Mukti, Sadhya Mukti, one of these things, are chances are very little happening now in life. So Krama Mukti and Sadhya Mukti is only talking about those who are going to get liberated in this life. Once you are in one of those paths, no chances of coming back. You will go up further. Sadhya Mukti means you are straight away liberated. Krama Mukti means gradually liberated. But when these two things don't happen, then the third option is the other one, Pitralokam. That's why Pitrakarmam, Shraddham and everything becomes important. And that decision may take time when you leave the body, before we come back again. Because all these decisions have to be made. So such time you are with the Pitradevadas in the Pitralokam, worshipping the Pitradevadas for that. And it can happen this way. If you get a body, human body again, you will come back here. If not, you could, lower species, you could go into the bird's body, animal's body, plant's body, and things like that. And if it is still bad, the samskaram, you can go to hellish planets as well to experience. And you will be given a body there, what is called as yatana deham. Yatana deham means a body for going through that suffering. And suffer it through that body. A specific body for that purpose. That's how you live in the hellish planets. Not with this body, because this body you live here. But you get the yadana deham. So anyway, all that is there. So Krishna is saying here that the if it is not purified completely, then he will have to come back. But either Krama Mukti or Sadhya Mukti. And so this is why this Vanaprastha Dharma, Vanaprastha Ashrama Dharma, people accepted that and suffering and the austerities for that. And he's saying here that Evam Chirnena Tapasa Munir Dhamani Sandata Mam tapomayam aradhya krishi lokam upeiti mam. One who does not accept this and one who worships Krishna for kshudrangamam, that means to maintain a comfortable life here for that purpose, is mutha. Because for worshipping Krishna or taking to spiritual life for liberation and worshipping Krishna for fulfilling the desires, both require some austerities. Right? And if you go through all these austerities and if you use the Vanaprastha Ashram and in that Vanaprastha Ashram also you are thinking about a happy material life. If it comes back, then he is considered to be a mutha. And because Vanaprastha Dharmam is another step just before liberation. And if you use that for Kshudrakamam, he is mutha. Panchagni Vidya. Similarly, all other austerities, because it's very austere life it is. Vanaprastha Ashram is life. And if you use it for fulfilling desires, thinking that if I perform all these austerities, I will get a better material happiness. Or if you do it for liberation, thinking that I want to get liberated, you still have to perform these austerities. And therefore it is still a difficult thing. And he is saying here that if he is willing to go through this Vanaprastha Ashramam and worships Krishna in this way, it is capable of elevating you for liberation. Yeah. And so that's an important point he is making in that ninth verse. Evam chirnena tapasa munir dhamani sandada mam tapo mayam aradhya krishilogad ubaidhimam. Krishilogad ubaidhimam. So if you execute vanaprastha dharmam for the sake of liberation or for the sake of fulfilling your desires, either way you can do that, vanaprastham, but he says the klesham, the suffering is there, both requires sacrifices, right? So when you are doing that, he says the best thing is to have the sankalpam to get liberated rather than coming back and having a good material life afterwards. And that is the main thing you have to note from that verse, that ninth verse. Krishna is pointing out to that. Do not desire for another material happiness again. Rather, liberation should be the goal. Yes, well, you look at the next verse, you'll say that again. Yes, vedal krishradrashirnam tapo nishrayasam mahat kamayalpi yaseyunjyad balishaho aparastadaha. He says, instead of doing these penances, if you do these penances, and if your sankalpam or your desire, instead of for the moksha sukham, for liberation, instead, if I am satisfied with this little happiness of this world, one who is thinking that, there is no one who is more stupid than that. Krishna is saying that this little bit of sense gratification, what one gets here, little bit of sense gratification, you don't have to go through all these austerities of Vanaprastha Ashrama. It's not required, he says. Because all other living entities also, they don't go through Vanaprastha Ashrama. And they are also getting their sense gratification without effort, right? So if what you can get otherwise, it will come according to your prarabdham, you will get it, whatever happiness. So instead of understanding that, you go and do all these austerities and penances through Vanaprastha Ashramam, thinking that you will have a better material life later. Krishna says he is the most stupid person. And the liberation, which is free from distress later, and to generate this desire for liberation and make people free from this mindset of sagama bhakti, bhakti with desires, right? In order to bring them away from that, Krishna has said this. To take us away from sagama bhakti, bhakti with desires. Krishna doesn't appreciate that. Krishna is saying that you will get whatever you are entitled according to your prarabdham. He won't interfere in that. You will always get it, he said. You don't, and don't use that as a vehicle for bhakti, as a vehicle for material happiness in this world. That is Krishna's point. So in order to distract us from sakama bhakti, motivated bhakti for material happiness, take us away from that, Krishna is saying that verse, yastvedal krichrada shirnam tapo nishrayasam mahat kamaya alpiyase yunjyad balishako avarastadaha. Balisham means childish it is to do like that. Yeah. So he said that, yeah. Then, Yadaso Niyame Agalpo, Jereya Jatave Pathu, Atman Agnin Samaropya, Machito Agnim Samavishet.
He is saying that one who practices Vanaprasthashramam with this desire for liberation, right, he will get liberated. And by the age of 75, he becomes entry for Vanaprasthashramam. The third part of his life is over. 100 years is considered to be, in all these calculations, lifespan. 75 means three quarters of your life is over, right? And so the third part is meant for Vanaprasthashramam. Third part, right? And by the age of 75, one must have developed vairagyam, sufficient vairagyam, and he can accept sannyasam then, at the age of 75. Till 75, one should accept, between 50 and 75, this Vanaprasthashramam. And with that, it is quite likely by then your health will be gone. You may not have enough health by that age, right? And if you feel that your health is bad and you are not capable of performing this Vanaprasthashramam, and at the same time, sufficient vairagyam also has not come. These are all criteria to decide whether we could have, and this is what will apply to most of the people. What Krishna has spoken is the standard clauses for Vanaprastham. And when you look at this, you have to have good health, you have to have good vairagyam, and you should be able to leave home at by 50. If it is not happening, you didn't have vairagyam and you don't have the strength for Vanaprasthashramam, you know what the option is? He says, jump into the fire. Jump into the fire, right? Because you didn't have enough vairagyam and you still have desire for sense gratification, and if you take sannyasam, you will cause problem in this world. Like it happens. You cause problems in this world. So that is why he is saying that. Yeah. You can see. Earlier Krishna said you can take sannyasam, right? If you see that, if you cannot execute your dharma, why Krishna said you go and jump into the fire is, if you cannot execute your dharma in this world, then living in this world is a struggle, isn't it? Being dependent on others. So Krishna is not saying that you should go to old age home or depend on your children for your survival in this world. If you cannot look after yourself, Krishna's solution is you jump into the fire and give up your body rather than living here. So, entering into fire is one of the process what Krishna has recommended, right? If you jump into the fire, live with life, right? If you think like that, it is going to cause problems. The solution is, Krishna is saying, the fire is inside you and you have to have the capacity through yoga process that Ahavaniya Agni has to get inside, and that Ahavaniya Agni you should be able to invoke from inside, and outside you can make a fire and enter into that, and very quickly you can leave this world. So this is only possible one who has practiced Ashtanga Yoga, that who can invoke the Ahavaniya Agni from inside. And that means Agni Dharana. It's called Agni Dharana. One who has practiced Agni Dharana, they are capable of performing this Agni from the heart, able to light it up inside, right? And then when they enter into the fire outside, they won't feel the heat. They won't feel the heat, right? So Agni joins the Agni. The Agni inside joins the Agni. There is fire in everyone. Sati Devi gave up the body like that. You remember in the Trayagam? In the Yoga Agni, she burned her body. Daksha stood there and watched that. How she... You know the Trayagam story, yeah? So, similarly, Agni joins Agni and you won't know anything. Everything is over. And similarly, water joins water, Jalam with Jalam. Yogi, through his Dharana process, he becomes Agni Swarupam. Now, one thing you have to remember, whatever Krishna has spoken is based on Jnana Margam. Ashtanga Yogam is a part of Jnana Margam. People are not aware of that. Ashtanga Yogam actually, Patanjali's yoga system, Patanjali and Vedavyas are together very much, closely, right? So Patanjali's yoga process comes a lot into you can see Shukha Brahmarshi, for example. He's a jnani as well as a yogi, both in him. That is why when Krishna talks, he will bring sometimes Yoga Margam into it. In the middle of Jnana Margam, he will say things like that. All this is generally based on the Jnana Margam. All this Varnashrama Dharmam and this process, everything what Krishna is talking about is all Jnana Margam it is. Giving up the body and leaving spirit, soul going back to Brahman, Brahman realization. But many processes in between will come from Yoga Margam. So this Dharana process is a yoga process. So he is saying here, one who has got the capacity to do Dharana with the Agni inside, then if he jumps into the Bahya Agni, external Agni, then he won't experience the pain at all. He won't experience any pain because through your Yoga Dharana, Agni Dharana, you have succeeded in bringing the Agni from inside in this body. In our body there is Agni. This is five material elements only, this body. So that means Agni is inside us. And if you are able to bring that Agni out, and with the heat of that, if you jump into the fire outside, very quickly you won't be affected by that. That is Krishna's logic in this. Yeah? That's why that verse, Yadaso niyame akalpo jareya jadave pathu Atmanyagni samaropya. Atmanyagni. Atmanyagni means Agni, what is inside you. And samaropya, and you take it into the Bhagni outside. Machito agnim samavishe. So, he says he should enter into the fire outside. So make a fire outside, bring the fire from inside, and the body is heated up sufficiently with the fire inside. Ahavani Agni, what is coming from inside, if that heats up this body to that degree, then you can jump into the fire. And temperature difference won't be there very much at that time. So, that is the thing. So, if Vanaprastha Ashramam is done, he is eligible for liberation properly, provided he has developed a sufficient... He is eligible for liberation, but he won't be... If he has, if vasanas are still there in him, then he will have to come through Krama Mukti. But if he has become free from all vasanas, then he is ready for Sadhya Mukti. And so that is the important point. So he says, don't do Vanaprastha Ashramam for the sake of material happiness, all these austerities and penances. Instead, liberation. Yeah. And Krishna doesn't suggest, if you have Vishaya Vasana there, attachment for sense enjoyment, you should not go into sannyasam because it will cause adharmam. You will make a mockery of sannyasa ashram, like has happened many times. Therefore, in that situation, is Krishna is suggesting this, that you give up your body through fire, dehatyagam. Yeah. And this way, if you give up the body, it's not considered suicide. If you give up the body in this way, by invoking the fire from inside, and heating up the body and then entering into a fire, if you do that, from Shastram point of view, it's not a suicide. Right? And the problem is, the reason is that you have lost your health to execute Vanaprastha Dharma, Vanaprastha Ashrama Dharma. And at the same time, you are not qualified for sannyasam. That is your position at that time. And these are the people who should do that. One who is not eligible for sannyasa ashram. Sannyasam is not given like that before, freely, to anyone and everyone. There are people decided that whether that person is eligible for sannyasam or not. That was the main qualification. If he doesn't have vairagyam, if he doesn't have knowledge, if you hand over sannyasam to him, he will end up in grihastha ashram. That's what will happen. So many cases like that, all the time happening. And so, traditionally, sannyasam was not given so easily like that. One who is giving the sannyasam is also responsible. And he has to be careful that, is this person really will make it? It's not that you will just want, whether he has the proper qualifications. Jnanam, sannyasa lakshanam. Has he got that sufficient realization? Because sannyasam is a state where you are already in a liberated state. Practically in the liberated state it is. But if you are not qualified for that, and if you are not in a position to execute Vanaprastha Ashramam like the way Krishna has spoken here, then the alternative is this, invoking the fire from inside, dharana of the Agni, and then finally giving up the body in the Agni, outside. So that is the way it should be seen. And that Vanaprasam person in the Vanaprastha Ashramam, if he has become incapable of continuing the Vanaprastha Ashramam, then the choice left for him is this Agni, entering into Agni. And also he has not developed a sufficient vairagyam for sannyasa ashramam. Right? If you have a reasonably good degree of vairagyam, then after Vanaprastha Ashramam you can go into sannyasam. Earlier you remember what Krishna said? Ashramal ashramam gacheyat, he said. You come through all the ashramams properly, not jump from one to another. Because that is likely again cause problems. So, if you don't have the health for Vanaprastha Ashramam, you started Vanaprastham, but you don't have, halfway you lost your health. Vanaprastha Ashram is about 50, 55 you start, up to 75 it is Vanaprastham. But meanwhile, some prarabdham has come and spoiled your health, bad health, and you cannot continue Vanaprastham anymore, it has got that bad, that means you cannot go into, don't have vairagyam for sannyasam either. In such a situation is this recommended, this invoking the fire, Agni from inside, right? Agni pravesham, entering the Agni, and he can give up his body, and that's not considered suicide. Next word. Yada karma vipageshu logeshu nirayalpmasu virago jayade samyak nyastagni pravrajetada. Suppose he has developed sufficient vairagyam inside, then what he should do? Doesn't matter in whichever ashramam he is. Suppose he has no desire to go into heavenly planets. There is also that thing, isn't it? Heavenly planets also there. So, and if you haven't got that desire either, then you can perform Agnihotram and take to sannyasa ashram, provided you have developed vairagyam inside. When you are performing this Agnihotram and all the other karmam associated with that, you will get heavenly planets as a result of that. And if you have not developed sufficient vairagyam inside, when you go to heavenly planets, you will be attracted to the happiness there. The heavenly planets, right? But if you have developed sufficient vairagyam here, virakti, then heavenly planets, you won't be attracted to it either. Therefore, that person does not require any karmam, which is only creating vichevam in a person. So vairagyam is another criteria. How much vairagyam one has developed inside. Vairagyam means that attraction for the world has gone. Body has gone. Family has gone. Wealth has gone. Everything gone. No attraction for anything. That state of mind. So because if he has developed vairagyam, he can take sannyasam. Yadahareva virajet, tadahareva pravrajet. Vedam says so. Therefore, idea of all these things is to create vairagyam inside. Even this vanaprasthashramam, to prepare you for vairagyam. Because without vairagyam, one should not enter into sannyasam. That is the fundamental principle. So, from grahasthashramam, suppose you have developed a sufficient vairagyam in grahasthashramam and mumukshatvam has come strongly inside, then he is saying here that you can, from grahasthashramam, you can move to sannyasam, provided you have that vairagyam inside. And because if that has not happened, all the activities, even in the grahasthashramam, like agnihotram and everything, the idea is to generate this vairagyam inside through yagam, yajnam and everything. If you have developed vairagyam, then you can give up this agnihotram. So, vairagyam is the goal of all this. Vairagyam makes you qualified for sannyasam. Vairagyam is dependent on jnanam. Jnanam will stay only if you have strong vairagyam inside. Not intellectual knowledge we are talking about. Realized knowledge. Yeah. Jnanam and vairagyam are connected to each other. They are children of bhakti. Also bhakti obviously required for all this. So, yada karma vipageshu logeshu nirayalmasu virago jayade samyak nyasta agni pravrajel tata. So, if vairagyam had come in the grahasthashram itself, if you have developed sufficient vairagyam, then it is possible to take sannyasam and then you don't have to do agnihotram. At that time you can give up agnihotram. But if you go to vanaprasthashram, that means vairagyam has not come. In order to develop vairagyam, vanaprasthashram will help. That is the purpose of that vanaprasthashram. But when you are in vanaprasthashramam, you have to still perform agnihotram and the other things mentioned, dashapurnamasam and all the chaturmasyam, everything. You are still supposed to follow that. So, that is what he is saying here. But vairagyam means what? That's another thing. Vairagyam is not only that ihaloga sukham, paraloga sukham as well. Both happiness of this world and happiness of the heavenly planets. Even that desire has gone away from inside. Right? That means tivra vairagyam, intense vairagyam has to come to him. And if complete purna vairagyam has come in a person, what that means is that he has got purna chitta shuddhi. He is pure in heart. His heart is pure. If purna vairagyam has come at that time, right? In other words, his bhakti has become firm inside. Bhakti has become firm inside. Purna chitta shuddhi. These are all connected to each other. Vairagyam is connected with bhakti. Vairagyam is also connected to chitta shuddhi. And chitta shuddhi means bhakti. Chitta shuddhi means bhakti, right? And so, then he can take to sannyasam. In other words, he does not have the health for vanaprastham then. He doesn't have the health for vanaprastham. But, he has got sufficient vairagyam inside. It is him that he can take sannyasam then. He can take sannyasam. So, you can come. Normally, Krishna's recommendation is grahasthashram to vanaprastham, vanaprastham to sannyasam. Yeah, but situated in vanaprasthashramam, executing the vanaprastha dharmam, and with bhakti, you can get liberated that way. Come to karma mukti and or sadhya mukti, even possible, he says. Even in vanaprasthashram it is possible, right? But suppose this happens, you don't have the health for, because vanaprasthashram is more demanding in all areas the living is concerned, right? So he is saying here that if you have lost the health in between, then at the same time you have developed vairagyam intensely. If you have developed vairagyam, intense vairagyam you have developed, such a person, he can stop his vanaprastha ashramam and he can become a sannyasi. He can take to sannyasam. That's allowed. That's allowed. Right? So, but before doing that, what you have to do, that's the next verse. It's all very complicated. It's not just like the way it's happening now, that you organize a nice meeting of all the devotees and a few sannyasis and you give saffron and you become a sannyasi. If you read all these things, you can see that only you should acquire qualifications for all these things. And if it is done properly, it will work. When it is done, when you change all the rules and regulations and all these conditions, then whatever happens will happen. What can you do? Somebody will be a sannyasi, then he becomes a householder, then he gets married, and then he goes for his pension. So what sannyasi is this? The whole thing is a joke, isn't it? So that means they have not read all these things in the Bhagavadam, what Krishna is saying. Krishna says this whole thing depends on your qualification. If you are not qualified, stay where you are. Best thing is that, don't be duplicitous and don't try to project an image what you are not, you don't have. Right? Krishna has put you in this situation, in this life, this is all I can do. And leave the rest to Krishna's hands, to his mercy, whatever he wants to decide, let him decide. That is a more honest approach. Rather than doing all these things and making a show in the world and cheating others with this. That's wrong. That shouldn't be done. You shouldn't minimize the value of all these ashramams. Yeah. And with the changed conditions in this world, so you can see that in the next word. Ishtvayathopadesham mam dutva sarvasvamrithi jayam agneen so pranam aveshya nirabeksha parivrajet. Before you do that, Krishna says that one who has developed this vairagyam and he wants to go into sannyasa ashramam, guru should tell him that there is a yagam called prajapatyam. That yagam should be performed, and whatever he has left with him in this world, he should offer everything to the Ritvik who is present in that yagam. Prajapati yagam, right? And then he should, all the agni should be offered into the pranan, and he should accept that sannyasam which gives up all kind of karma. In sannyasam there should be no karma. Karma is not sannyasa lakshanam. Jnanam is sannyasa lakshanam. If jnanam is strong in a person, he is in a sannyasam stage. But if you do karma in sannyasam, and that is where you get trapped. You become a sannyasi and then you start. You remember Krishna said this when we sannyasa dharmam. No building ashrams, building temples, and making disciples, writing commentaries. All these things are not allowed in the sannyasa ashram. All this is mentioned in the seventh canto. If you read sannyasa ashram's description, what sannyasi should not do, it's spoken there. And in that it's all listed, everything. What sannyasi should not do. Nowadays sannyasi buy a round the world ticket and he is busy traveling everywhere, because they see sannyasam purely as a preaching message or whatever that they think is the right sannyasam. But Krishna sannyasam, what Krishna has spoken, is jnanam sannyasa lakshanam. If you have people like that in the society, this kind of sannyasis, that will be a good thing for everybody. Even for, they at the top, guidance to others, for brahmacharis and grihasthas. So this is, he's saying here, prajapatyam is to be performed, and this prajapate ishti is the one which is performed before sannyasam, after the vanaprastham, right? What it does is, you are actually paying back all your debts towards the Pitru Devadas, right? And and it is a part of Pitru Karma. And there is a thing called Ashtaka Shraddham. This Ashtaka Shraddham is a part of this. It is a well-known thing, this Ashtaka Shraddham, right? And then he says here, this ishti, brahmanasya ishti, with this ashtaka shraddham, what you do, you are pleasing the Pitru Devadas in the Pitru Lokam, right? In other words, Krishna, who is present in the Pitru Devadas form, it is Krishna who is present in the Pitru Devadas form, it is in that, you are performing the yajnam to please Krishna in the form of Pitru Devadas. In this way, and that is what it is called, Prajapate Ishti. So this Prajapate Ishti is a yagam performed to please the Pitru Devadas through the process called Ashtaka Shraddham. Ashtaka Shraddham is well known thing, right? And that yajnam. With this Ishti, when you do that, all the Devas should be seen as Krishna Swarupam, Bhagavad Swarupam, right? And whatever wealth is left behind with him, all that wealth should be given as dakshina to the Ritviks, who was performing the yagam. The Ritviks are given all that dakshina. So, that means whatever wealth is left behind, you should be given to them. And so, Aubasana Agni. When you are performing Agnihotram at home, there were three Agnis there in Agnihotram. Garhatya Agni, Ahavini Agni, and all the Agnis, they are offered into Andaryami inside. And what that means is, from now on, from that person, he is not dependent on anything in this world except Andaryami. That's what this Prajapati Drishti leads to at the end. And only if you have reached that state, you can do all these things. Is it not? Otherwise you can't, you see, you can't make fool of anybody. I'm thinking that I'm qualified for everything. And a lot of people think like that. I'm ready for this, I'm ready for that. Somebody said, let me have a go at it, he says. Sannyasashram. He's saying, let me have a go at it, see what happens. He says, there are people like that in this world who does not understand the gravity of all these things, the seriousness of all this. And I know some young people at a particular time, they were arguing each other, fighting with the GBC to give sannyasam to them. GBC also found that these young men were doing a lot of service, distributing a lot of books and doing various things. So out of pressure, they were given sannyasam. So all that is not mentioned in the Bhagavad. Bhagavatam is saying, these are the criteria for which you give sannyasam to people. So that is why it's a bit difficult nowadays to see sannyasi as a sannyasi properly, in this light of all these things. Right? Krishna is saying here that when this Prajapati Ishti happens, he should be in such a state that he is able to come to this realization. He has handed over everything to the Ritvik, who has performed the Prajapatyam Yagam. All the wealth he has got. Totally dependent on Andaryami from then on. Not dependent on anybody else. You must have reached that state of dependency on or surrender to Krishna to that level, only then you can take the sannyasam and leave from there. You should leave the place straight away. Take sannyasam and leave, he says. Krishna says, you take sannyasam and then leave. No more looking back anymore. Said goodbye to everybody and gone. Yeah. So, that is what he is saying here. next verse. Yeah. So, Ishtvayata, 13th verse. Ishtvayata obadesham mam dhatva sarvasvam hrityaje agnin so pranam aveshya niravaksha parivrajet. And with this Prajapati Yagam, he can move into sannyasashramam after offering everything into the Ritvik who was performing the Yagam. And he has decided to give up all the Agni into the Pranam because he was performing Agnihotram all these days. This is all Vaidigam. What is spoken here is all Vaidigam. That means based on the Vedam, everything. All this what Krishna is talking about is all Vaidigam. And he can take to give up all his karmam and sannyasam. Viprasya vai sannyasato deva dharadi rubina vighnan kurvandayak asman akramya samayat param. While taking sannyasam, there may be a lot of obstacles at that time. And you should not worry about them and take sannyasam, right? First of all, devadas, demigods, they will create obstacles. And for a brahmana who is taking sannyasam, how in the they come in the form of wife and children, attachment to them. The wife and children attachment will increase inside, thinking about them and worrying about them. These are obstacles what the demigods will create. They will enter into their body and create attachment to them. In that way. Then, why do they do that? Reason is, they like you to do the yagam, yam and all that. And please them. Because that's what devas want from us. Remember? In the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, sahayajna praja srishtuva puryovaja prajavadi eshaves tishtakamayanyam ishtakamaduk, he says. We and the devas are connected like this. Devas like us to please them through yagam, yajnam, homam, things like that. So when you take sannyasam, that means you have come out of it and you are looking for your liberation and they are not happy with that because they are losing their client, customer. We were their customers, we are their customers now and we are giving it up and we are going back to spiritual self-realization. So, and that upsets them, right? And therefore what they will do, they will enter into a wife and children. How? And because our chittam is their location. They are present in the wife and the children and in all of us. In our chittam, he is present. Devadas are present. And therefore, from wife's side and the children's side, they will come forward and prevent you from taking sannyasam. They will do that. Wife and children are not doing it. Devadas are doing that through them, right? And what they will do is, they will come up to him and they'll start crying, if you leave us, who will look after us now? And you should not leave us at this stage in our life. We are old. So many years we have lived together. What will the children feel if we break up like this? And things like that. They will talk at that time. They'll cry and they will speak such words. And they will embrace you. And they'll make you feel that you are a part together. We are all one family together. They will bring that family feeling back into... Put that into your head and you'll say, oh no, I'm not taking sannyas, I'm staying back. We'll continue our family life and you will stay back in that way. That's what Krishna is saying. I'm not saying this. Krishna is saying that. He says, Viprasyavai sannyasato deva dharadi rubina. Dhara means wife. In that form, dharadi rubina, wife and children. Vighnan kurvandi ayam. create the obstacles. Yeah, asman akramya samyad param. And then this is how demigods create this problem. Actually, it's not. You see, we think we are independent. Actually, nobody is responsible for anything. Our karma is responsible for everything. So when demigods decide to do that, they decide that you are not, you shouldn't be going. You should be living here. That's their position. Continue with your Agnihotram and Yagam Yajnam and keep us happy that way. So that's their obstacles. That's what he is saying there, right? And so their complaint is that you are going to abandon them, the demigods, right? And therefore, generally they think we are their servants. That's their. This is in the earlier also it was spoken in several places. This comes up, this issue, right? Generally, devadas think that we should perform yagam, yajnam, havis. That is for them, their food, isn't it? And if you say like that, they are happy with us. And at the same time, you keep on coming back again and again in this cycle of birth and death, right? They don't like you going back, getting liberated, in other words. Going back means getting liberated. They don't like that, right? And if someone tries very hard to get out of the cycle of birth and death, and if they see that you are becoming successful, then they will create the obstacles for you. If they see that you have reached a stage and you are becoming successful in your effort, develop bhakti, develop jnanam, develop vairagyam, and you are progressing very fast in that way, then what they will do is, they will create the obstacles. It is called andarayam. Andarayam means, andarayam can happen in many ways, but this andarayam from demigods is like this. They will enter into the body of the wife and children, and through them they will speak to you. Through them. And they use them to prevent you from going into sannyasashram. Then, Bibriyarchir Munirvasam. Then Krishna is saying that you should not listen to that and move on in life. Bibriyarchir Munirvasam, Kaubin Achadanam Param. Tyaktam na danda patrabhyal anyal kinchid anabadi. He says that after you have taken sannyasam, what you have to do? You should only have kaubinam. Only the kaubinam, right? If you are absolutely essential, then you can have another, just a cloth to cover yourself, bottom part, right? And also, you can have a dandam and a pot, water pot. That's allowed. A dandam, a water pot, kaupinam. And if necessary, if sufficient, kaupinam is sufficient. But if it's not, you can cover with another, what they call gamsha, isn't it? A towel to over that, right? And nothing else you should accept as your wealth. That should be that stage, right? Due to ill health or lack of strength, if it is not possible to do continue that way, then if some things you can accept, he says, not spoken what they can be, but he said some things you can accept at that time. So, over the kaubinam, you can use another cloth to cover, but not dhotis like this, right up to the knee only. Below the knee, bare. Up to the knee, you can cover with a, you know, something like the towel what you use for bathing, something like that. Not the Turkish towel, simple ones. Yeah. Not the ones decorated what we people use. All kinds of towels are there now. You can buy them in bulk at low prices at Costco. They'll give you a whole set of them. 18, 20 of them. Egyptian cotton and all that. So, while accepting sannyasam, when the sannyasa mantra is recited at that time, in the traditional Advaita system, sannyasam takes about 4 to 5 days to complete all the different rituals associated with that. Minimum 4 to 5 days. He comes to the matam and then he stays there, and then a lot of discussion goes on. Minimum, the rituals alone take 4 to 5 days to complete, right? So, at the time of sannyasam, whatever mantras were recited and what you have accepted, they will give you that cloth, what you can wear after that. You are allowed to wear only that, nothing else after that. And that cloth, what is given to you at that time, you should not give up. You should not give up that cloth. It should stay with you. And that cloth should be worn in such a way that to cover your kaubinam, what you are wearing, right? And of all the things left in this world, you are allowed to keep that with you, nothing else. Similarly, dandam, water pot, and bhiksha pot for bhiksha purposes, you can keep that with them. So kaupinam, and a cloth to cover that, dandam, bhiksha patram, water pot, nothing more than that, right? And the next words, yeah, this is important. Drishti bodham nyasel padam, vastra bodham pibet jalam, satya bodham vaded vacham, mana bodham samacharet. He's saying that for a sannyasi, the one thing what he should always follow is ahimsa, yeah. Ahimsa vratam, yeah, and that is explaining here what that ahimsa means. While walking, he should look at the ground if there is any living entity, so that you don't step over it. Then that means he has to make sure that he doesn't kill any living entity on the ground by his feet, right? Sometimes it can happen, small ants or small worms can be moving on the ground. At the moment we are killing so many every day. When you are driving the car, when you are even walking, all kinds of activities. So ordinary people don't take serious note of it, of the things what we kill, is it not? We don't take notice of it. Lot of violence we create without our knowledge. We are not aware of that, right? Sannyasi should not have that mindset. Sannyasi should keep that into account, that he does not kill anyone, any living entity. That's the most important thing for sannyasi. Drishtibhudam nyasel padam means that you look at a distance, how far you can see, make sure that there's no living entities before you put your feet there. And you should always keep your drishti, your eyes, on other living entities, if anybody is there. Then, vastrabhudam pibet jalam. Even while drinking water, you should filter it with a cloth, so that no living entities are in the water while drinking. Vastrabhudam pibet jalam. Then, satya bhudam vaded vacham. Whatever you speak, there should be no lie in that. You should be 100% honest in what you speak, right? And whatever you have spoken, it should be purified by truthfulness, in other words. You should be so pure and truthful words only you spoke. And only after proper scrutiny, you should speak what you are going to speak, right? Only what you think, that what you are not going to give any harm or trouble to anyone, only such a karmam you should do after thinking about it sufficiently with your mind. When you enter into any action, if you do, any karmam if you are doing, you should do these things. Drishti bodham nyasel padam, vastra bodham pibet jalam, Satyabodham vadet vacham, manabodham samacharet. These four things. Yeah. Now, this verse here, in one instance they say, this applied to Kamsa, before Krishna came. At that time, he was so fearful about Krishna, and he was always looking everywhere, is Krishna there? Before he sat down anywhere, he will look, is Krishna there? He was like a sannyasi apparently at that time, in a joking way, spoken about Krishna. He was frightened about Krishna so much, the fear, because he was given the warning on the eighth day, or after the eighth child, will kill him. And because of that fear, when he heard that Devaki Devi had the baby, child was born, as soon as that information came, Krishna was in this condition. Sorry, Kamsa. Kamsa was in this state because of the fear. And he was thinking, is Krishna here? Is Krishna there? Looking everywhere, is Krishna there? Krishna there? Krishna there? So, drishti bodham yasel padam. And same thing, vastra bodham pibhecharam. He thought that Krishna can come in any form, he heard. So, before he sat down, he will make sure under the cushion if Krishna is there. While walking, he will check if there is Krishna anywhere. Because in his head, he thought that Krishna will come in one of these forms. While drinking water, he was filtering it, like the way it said. But Satyabodham Vadet Vacham, Manabodham Samacharet, there he was not so strong. But the first two he followed. Drishtibodham Nisail Padam Vastrabodham Pibhajjalam. So, that is what Krishna is saying there, that 16th verse, right? So, you know, sannyasis are four different types. Kutichaka, Bahudhak, and Hamsam, Paramahamsa, like that. Four different types of sannyasis there, right? So, out of these four, Hamsam and Paramahamsas, right? And then, they are both considered to be Atyashrami, Hamsams and Paramahamsas. They are called Atyashrami. What does Atyashrami mean? Atyashrami means none of the rules related to ashramam applies to them anymore. They have transcended ashramam rules. Even they have transcended sannyasa ashramam rules. Therefore they are called Paramahamsas. Hamsas and Paramahamsas, right? And because they have transcended all the ashramam rules, they are called Atyashramis, right? In other words, for them now, rules and regulations doesn't apply. Vidhi Nishedham, that's the word for that. Do's and don'ts, rules and regulations, they don't apply for them anymore. In that stage, Paramahamsa stage, right? So, Atyashramis are like that. There are many Atyashramis. For example, there was a famous personality called Raghavendra Muni. Raghavendra Muni was Atyashrami. He has crossed all these stages. And he wrote a commentary on Bhagavatam called Krishnapadi. That book is available still. But he has written it from a very higher level of realization. That's why ordinary people won't be able to read it and understand it. But it is available. It's called Krishnapadi. His commentary on Bhagavatam. Yeah. So, Raghavendra Muni, he was an Atyashrami. He was Atyashrami. And sometimes, they are called Avadhudas. Another word for them is Avadhudas, right? Means, Vidhi and Nishedam don't apply to them. Sri Shuka Brahmarshi was Avadhuda. Dattatreya Maharshi was Avadhuda. They are all Avadhudas. That means no ashramam rules. They have all gone very high in spiritually. So therefore, all these rules, regulations and all, they finished with them. Right? But the others, Kutichaka, Bahudak, they are not like that. They are just the early stages. They are in the sannyasa ashramam. Right? Basically, Hamsam and Paramahamsam means they have already realized the truth. They are already self-realized. Whereas, Bahudak and Kudichaka, they are only struggling for realization. They are in the sadhana stage still. They are in the sannyasa ashram, but self-realization has not happened yet for them. So that means they are the apprentice in the sannyasis. Apprentice in the sannyasis, right? And they have to follow the rules and regulations. They have to. They are not gone above the rules and regulations. Hamsan Paramahamsam has gone above the rules and regulations, right? But Kutichak and Bahudak, they are still in the early stages of sannyasam. And therefore, what they have to follow, the rules and regulations, that is being spoken from the next verse onwards. 16th verse, if you look. Drishtibhudam nyasel padam, vastrabhudam pibhe jalam. So these are not for Hamsam and Paramahamsam. It is for Bahudak and Kutichak, right? And all these ashramam, what started, what he spoken here, is where Advaita Vedantam is based on. Advaitam follows these rules, what Krishna is talking about. But when it comes to modern times now, with all these institutional sannyasam, all this has changed. They made it much more user-friendly, with all the modernized methods of sannyasam, and mostly it is institutional based, it is. You can't really call it as sannyasam as such. It is difficult to call it like that. And then everybody is doing what they think suits them. And that's how sannyasam is nowadays, right? So, but Advaita's system is based on this. They follow quite rigidly these things, what is spoken here. There is Upanishad also about sannyasam. Sannyasa Upanishad it is called. And that is also incorporated into this, right? So, here as he said, that he has to make sure that there is no living entities when he walk, and there is no impurities. For example, like, while walking you have to be careful that you don't touch impure things. Then you have to bathe again, like dog stool or cat stool or some things like that. Everything can be on the roadside when you walk like that, right? Then, important thing is that you have taken to sannyas ashram with this strong commitment that you will never be a problem for anybody else, threat for others, right? So these two things, ahimsa and satyam, they are the main dharmam what a sannyasi should follow. Mainly ahimsa and satyam, right? Satyam is for everybody, one should follow, but ahimsa maximum, one should maintain that, right? For example, when you are breathing, for example, sometimes living entities can go inside, is it not? Sometimes it happens. While speaking, sometimes some fly can get inside the mouth. Sometimes it happens and they die, right? And you are not allowed to do that. Therefore, Jain sannyasis, you see them, they cover with a mask. They put a mask inside to cover that, so that living entities don't get into the mouth, right? And at the same time, now breathing is concerned, what you do, you have to breathe, isn't it? How can you live in this world? And then, but while walking, they have to walk very slowly, very slowly. And this is why, if you look into the fifth canto, Bharata, while walking, it is spoken how he walked. While putting every step, he will look at the ground first. And only after made sure there is no living entity, he will put the next feet. That's how he walked. Imagine walking with somebody like that. Like the way Bharata has walked. Bharata Yogeshwara, Jada Bharata, walked like that. Every feet, it mentions very specifically in the Bhagavatam, how he walked. Every step, he was making sure that there is no living entity on the ground. Right? And then, so that no violence happens, no himsa happens, right? And similarly, he mentioned there, clothes you have to drain the water, and then only drink the water, right? Similarly, satyam, he said that, isn't it? Satya bhutam vadet vacham, Krishna says there. And he should not speak anything which will be painful for others. You shouldn't hurt anyone. by his words, right? And also he should be very careful that what he speaks is the truth. And you should also think the person who is hearing it, what he is saying, will that hurt him, the person who hears that, right? So only after thinking all that he should speak. Sometimes, when you hear certain things from a sannyasi, first hearing, you may think that it is hurting you, right? But if you think about it, and you start thinking that, oh, it is beneficial for me, what he has said, if you say like that, then that is not considered to be wrong. So, sannyasi says to make sure that the person who is hearing of what he has spoken is only beneficial for him. And that person, on reflection, should be able to accept it in that way. Then it is not considered violence. Then it's not considered violence. Because certain words in certain occasions, it will come out like that. Not deliberately, intentionally to hurt someone, but more like a chastisement, or in that way. In order to bring that person from his misunderstanding of things, and to bring him out from his illusion. You know, when you sannyasi see somebody is situated in a wrong way and have a lot of misunderstanding about things, he may have to tell him things in a language which he will understand, and on reflection he will change his mind. But you can see what happens now is that because institutional sannyasam has come, there is so much misunderstanding and there is so much suspicion about sannyasam and the sannyasis. And sannyasis are feeling, all these people are after me. They are also feeling equally about the people who have, who are not accepting them as, you know, mutual distrust has come, mistrust has happened between the people. You can see with the child abuse thing, what happened, right? So many sannyasis are implicated in that. So those who got into trouble with the children, I'm saying, they have all grown up now. They are big men, right? And they feel they have to take a revenge for what they have been abused for by these sannyasis. And sannyasis are feeling that these people are after me. Now, this situation happens means what? What does that mean? It means that both of... The children, you don't expect anything because they have not taken... Sannyasis also are in a very delicate situation. Their sannyasam is also meaningless. Sannyasam is supposed to be fearless state. You are no fear anymore because you have completely dependent on Krishna and nothing in this world should frighten you. Now sannyasis have taken to this system now that they are traveling and hiding in places because of the fear of police and court action. And these children who have come through this system and who have been abused, sannyasis are hiding. It's happening now. You can see that. If you read all the news, you will see this is happening. They're hiding. And is this sannyasam then? It has come to that now. I'm saying that. So that's why these things should not be taken lightly. Should be properly thought through before. Otherwise, live in the place wherever Krishna has put you in that. Be satisfied with that. This is what Krishna has given you in this life. Be satisfied with that. Not to feel all these... this is all not something that you do. It's not a career, you see. People are thinking like a career. This sannyasashram. Brahmachari grahastha is like a career progression, you can say. This is not a career. This is... they think it's a spiritual career, they say. There's no career in spiritual life. Spiritual life, you have to reach that goal by your own sadhana process. Yeah. So if bhakti develops in the heart, Krishna says all these things are not so important. All this is done to develop bhakti and jnanam. That's the goal behind it. Surrender is the most important thing. When it comes to Bhagavata Dharmam, all these things are not important, provided you develop bhakti. Then you can reach the same stage where they can get. Through Vaidika Dharmam, where you can get to. That same status you can get through Bhagavata Dharmam also. provided you develop bhakti. But then you have to follow Bhagavata Dharmam seriously. There you can't make any adjustments or concessions in that. Yeah. So all that is implicated in that. So then he says here, he should only do things that he will not hurt anyone in any way, right? And whatever he is speaking, he should think carefully before he speaks, and the word should be pure and friendly to others, and that kind of activities. Only those activities which are favorable for others, hitam. Hitam means which is benefiting others spiritually, such things should be spoken, right? And that is called pure activity. He shouldn't do anything for himself with the idea of that accumulating wealth or accumulating disciples and all. That's all wrong. So, fully convinced that by his activity, others will get benefited, only then he should act. And then he should walk only through the streets where it's clean and without giving any pain to others. All these things he is saying here. So, and he should speak carefully, and he should only do such things which is beneficial for others. So, I will stop there today. We'll continue tomorrow from the next verse. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories. Srila Prabhupada.